Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday. It is June 17th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a man was killed and five people, including teenagers, were injured during a shooting at a graduation party in Southwest Philadelphia Sunday night. The shooting happened around 10 p.m. at Finnegan Playground near the intersection of South 70th Street and Buist Avenue. According to police, 60 people were attending the graduation party in the park when at least one person approached the crowd and opened fire. The motive is under investigation. There was nothing that suggested that there was a fight that preceded this, Philadelphia Police Commissioner Richard Ross said. The victims included three boys, ages 15, 16, and 17, a 16-year-old girl, and a 21-year-old man. There was a 24-year-old man who had died. The teenagers were all shot in the legs or ankles and were listed in stable condition. The 21-year-old was shot in the elbow and is in stable condition. The 24-year-old man was shot in the back, and he was pronounced dead at the hospital.
Weren't there shootings like this at the end of last season as well?
Yeah.
In school season?
Yeah.
Is this becoming a thing?
Some of the graduation parties in the city, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it sounds, I mean, if there wasn't a fight, it sounds like somebody came with the intention to shoot. So maybe they had a beef against, I don't know, who knows.
Police are continuing to search for the suspect. Residents in Sea Isle City are calling for a full-time fire department after flames erupted at a marina just weeks after a Memorial Day weekend fire that destroyed a home. Carmen Conti said that he was returning from an errand around 12:30 Sunday when he saw the fire at his family's marina in the 300 block of 43rd Place while sitting in traffic. He said he was only out for about 5 minutes, but in that time, the fire started in a shed and spread to his family's commercial fishing boat. Neighboring homes were evacuated, and the smoke could be seen for miles. Fire crews from the city and neighboring towns battled the flames. There was gridlock on Sea Isle Boulevard as people stopped to watch. Conti believed that the fire began in a compressor next to the commercial fishing boat named Addison Rose. His family owns a string of businesses on the block, including the restaurant Carmen's and bait and tackle shop Two Chums. Conti said neither were affected, and they remained open. Now, Conti's 15-year-old son, CJ, and an 18-year-old employee, Connor, were among those who worked to get the boats at Two Chums away from the fire. At one point, the two teens were separated by the flames, but neither of the men were injured.
Wow.
Two people were taken to the hospital. One was released and did not suffer any injuries. Now, there have been a lot of fires in Sea Isle over the past few years, but Sunday's incident comes just 3 weeks after a fire destroyed a home in the 5600 block of Central Avenue. Residents then blamed the fire's damage on the volunteer fire company's response time. After this second fire, Seattle residents are again pushing for a full-time fire department so that they don't have to rely on the volunteers. After the fire 3 weeks ago, there was a town hall to discuss the issue, and Carmen Conti actually told Action News after Sunday's fire that he is on the board for that full-time department. Ragu pasta sauces are being recalled because they may contain fragments of plastic. Mizcon America Incorporated issued a voluntary recall. The company says it has not received reports of anyone consuming the plastic, but they issued the recall out of an abundance of caution. The affected sauces were produced between June 4th and June 8th. They include Ragu's chunky tomato, garlic, and onion in various size jars, Old World Style Traditional in the 66-ounce jar, and then the Old World Style Meat in the 66-ounce jar. The voluntary recall is limited to the pasta sauces with these specific production codes, which were distributed nationwide. Consumers who have purchased the recalled Ragu sauces with the outlined code caps should call the Ragu customer service hotline to receive a replacement. The customer service team is available Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. until 5 p.m. They will provide a replacement coupon to reporting customers, and they'll also make arrangements to retrieve the product for further examination.
I can't imagine buying a 66-ounce jar of spaghetti sauce, personally.
Unless you have a pool
that you may need it.
You may want to go
pool.
Swimming. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a ton.
That's a big family.
Yep.
All right, in sports this morning. The Phillies Rays lost to the Braves yesterday afternoon in Atlanta, falling by a score of 15-1.
What the f*** is this?
I think we'll just leave it there. We don't need any of the details. The road trip continues in Washington, D.C. as the Phils open up a four-game series against the Nationals. Jake Arrieta will get the start tonight, while Patrick Corbin will pitch for the Nats. Game time is at 7:05. At the Women's World Cup in Paris, the United States beat Chile 3-0 on a record-setting night for South Jersey's Carly Lloyd. With the win, Team USA secured a spot in the round of 16. Lloyd scored twice in the first half to move into third on the all-time scoring chart for the Americans, with 10 behind Michelle Akers and Abby Wambach, and also became the first player to score in six consecutive World Cup games. Julie Ertz also found the back of the net. Next up for the Americans is their toughest match in the first round, Team Sweden, which they will play on Thursday. In golf, Gary Woodland clinched a victory at Pebble Beach and won the 2019 U.S. Open. Needing only a bogey at 18 to win, Woodland sank a 30-foot putt for birdie to seal the win by three strokes and end Brooks Kopach's two-year reign at the U.S. Open as the U.S. Open champ. And in NBA news...
Kepka. That's okay.
What?
Said Kopach, but Kepka. Okay. You got your glasses on.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's okay.
The L.A. Lakers reached an agreement to acquire three-time All-NBA forward Anthony Davis from the New Orleans Pelicans for three players and three first-round draft picks. The Lakers will be able to partner Davis with LeBron James, sending Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Villanova alum Josh Hart, and the picks, including the number four overall selection in Thursday's NBA draft, to the Pelicans. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. Yes, if you have a thing for glasses, and Kathy, today's the day to watch the Daily Rush video. So she's got her glasses on. Do you normally wear contacts, right?
But I always wear contacts.
You've been having like sinus problems and stuff. Is that part of the reason?
Yes, and I'm also running out of my contacts, and I have to go away this weekend, and I need to save them.
Okay.
She was a trooper at the blood drive.
I heard.
She had like medication on ice that she had to take, and it was, but it was not good.
No, it's not fun, and it doesn't seem to be going away, which is great.
Oh, no. Oh, wow.
Well, are you flying anywhere? Because the pressure will certainly help.
No, and you know what? That also was a reason why I decided to save my contacts and wear my glasses. The pressure in my head when I would, like, bend down to pick up toys.
Yeah.
Toys I was cleaning up last night. Yes, I felt like my head was going to explode. Yes.
Oh, no.
No, I don't have to fly anywhere.
Okay. All right, good.
I'm going down to Rock Hall, Maryland for a wedding.
All right, baby.
Rock Hall.
Well, listen, folks, we welcome you. It is a Monday morning with the Preston and Steve Show. And yes, speaking of the blood drive, we'll get some updates on that. And it was a long day of work. I am so glad I was there to be a part of it.
Listen.
I missed it. And I'm actually bummed out that I missed it. I saw pictures of people riding bicycles and stuff around
It was
around
cool.
The area. It looked like it was a lot of fun, actually.
All the time, Preston, I was saying, I have to imagine this is going to be the most drunk Preston's ever been in his life. But you seem to be doing pretty well
not
today.
Ever in my life, but yeah. I'm going to take a break for a little while.
Try out.
I learned a phrase from my best friend's son, and we got up Saturday morning before I went to St. Louis for the parade, for the Stanley Cup parade, and I've never heard this term before, but it made total sense, and it will be a bit of a motto for party days like this.
Right.
He said when we woke up after we spent the night before partying, he goes, can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
You never heard that before?
Wow, no.
You never heard that before?
No, that's an old phrase.
Yeah.
I'd never heard
that's
that
awesome.
One. And you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
He's 11 years
then,
old, right?
And then right after that. Yeah, that's what I heard immediately.
My God.
So like, oh, my God, here we go.
We're going to want to hear about that.
It was a good time. Speaking of hockey, we do have a couple of hockey-themed guests that are going to be on the show this morning. We are going to talk to the head coach of the St. Louis Blues and former Flyer, Craig Berube, today, Stanley Cup champion, just to get his feel on it. And I tell you what, man, the love for that guy and Philadelphia was amazing while I was there.
It was such a synergistic thing because of that. Jacks had a float, correct?
No.
Oh, I thought
it
they
ended
did.
Up not happening. And I was in contact with those guys while I was there. I met up with them, and the float thing ended up not happening.
Damn.
Unfortunately, but they were. Listen, I got a picture of Mike, who we had on the show a couple of times.
Yeah.
Drinking beer out of the Stanley Cup.
Whoa,
wow.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So it was good for them.
Yeah.
They ended up with the team, had their private parties and all this stuff.
Cool.
I was kind of, they kind of rallied. You know, Mike was like, oh, we're going to be at this place. There's a VIP party and all this stuff. And I'm like, I'll never get in. And I ended up just hanging with my friends instead of instead of trying to shoehorn myself into that stuff. But I was really happy for them. They were having a blast. I mean, We'll recap it later, but you can't believe it. You can't believe that story of this little club in Philadelphia, how it was what everyone was talking about.
So
everyone. I was at the airport about to get on a plane, and I overhear a conversation of two guys three tables over, and that's all they were talking about.
So our perception that this was had more gravitas here is not true. It was permeating out there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because we consider this a nice – this, in a way, really was a Stanley Cup win for Philadelphia.
Kind of, sort of. I mean, not at all. Not at all. But
there was a
cool connection. But I'm telling you, those Play Gloria shirts and signs and stuff were everywhere. Everywhere. And I don't ever want to hear that song again for the rest of my life. Because all I heard while I was out there.
Marissa built a cardboard facsimile of you to be at the blood drive. Yeah. And you were wearing your Gloria shirt. Play Gloria.
So it was very interesting as far as that Philadelphia connection and all that threading through that entire celebration out there. So we're going to talk to Craig Berube. We'll talk to him about that. And also on the hockey side of things, Chris Therrien is going to be here in our studio this morning. He has an event coming up. It's on Wednesday at Harrah's in Atlantic City, and we're going to get more of the information about that from him when he gets here, but it's called Street Life Concert. So we'll spend some time with Chris, and he's got some very personal things he wants to touch on.
He does,
yeah.
He wants to open up a little bit.
Yeah, so that'll be at 9 o'clock today. We also have as a meet and eat today, Steve's signature event that he's been promoting for a while, and it is coming up this Thursday. It's called the Mutiny on the Mooshaloo Mewtwo. And officially doing a meet and eat here today.
How about that? And it's more than just that, Preston. It's really your best chance to preserve my marriage.
Oh.
Think about it that way.
Okay. All right. If you are happy with Steve being happily married,
if you want me to maintain my happiness,
this event.
Exactly.
Hey, listen, these events and planning them are so stressful for the people who run it. So
it's unbelievable.
I support you 100% and your wife, Steve.
It's going to be wonderful on Thursday. By the way, for people who are wondering, because it's on, at the deck of the Mooshaloo. There's covering, so the weather doesn't impact.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
All right, so that means the food or part of the food partners involved in the event are going to be here. Zaz Ice Cream, Tuckins S'mores, Nothing Bundt Cakes, and Mixie Chicks Macaroons are stopping by today.
Some good ass. I hope you guys are in the mood for some sweets this morning.
Always.
Casey's like, let's roll.
All right.
Time to get in here.
These things and more are going on today. I'll get you the update on the Word of the Week prize and all that stuff in just a little bit. We're going to go ahead and take a break, come back in a second, because I got a big stack of entertainment stories I'm going to pass along to you, along with a stupid question and some giveaways. We have movie screening passes for Toy Story 4 tonight that we'll give away too. So get set. We got a lot to get to on this Monday morning. We'll be right back.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to do a stupid question this morning. We're going to give away a pair of Longwood Garden tickets. And the question that we have is as follows. Name the state that chose the sunflower as its state flower. 215-263-WMMR. Call now. Name the state that chose the sunflower as its state flower. Call right now. I'm going to go through some birthdays today. It is Monday, June 17th. Thomas Hayden Church has his birthday today.
Love him.
Started off on the TV show Wings, and then he ended up in a bunch of movies, Sideways being one of the top ones.
He was actually a good villain in the third Spider-Man movie, but it was just too much.
Yeah, it was way too much.
Way too much.
Agreed, yeah. He's great. We've had him on before. Very funny. Nice guy. 59 years old today. Nick's best friend, Will Forte, has his
birthday. You son of a bitch! Yeah.
Have you reached out to him yet?
Oh, yeah. We hang out all the time. Okay. Yeah. We were going to come to the Mooshaloo thing on Thursday, Steve, but he didn't want to hang out with
you. Maybe I'd forgive you if you do that.
He's
stealing my best friend.
49 today, Saturday Night Live, 30 Rock, MacGruber, The Lego Movie, and what was the name of the show? Last Man Standing?
Last Man Standing, which
Last
was...
Man on Earth.
Last Man on Earth.
Last Man on Earth.
Which is hilarious. Last Man Standing is Tim Allen.
Right. So Will Forte is 49 today. Jason Patrick.
Yeah.
Michael.
Michael.
From The Lost Boys. Mikey.
I think probably his greatest screen achievement, Speed 2.
Oh, yes.
Which takes place on a vehicle that can exceed 19 knots.
Do you remember the it was Speed 2?
Yeah.
And then it had another name to it.
I don't remember that.
Cruise Control.
Because it's on a cruise ship. Oh,
and once you set it, it keeps going at the same speed. So, you know, it's like unbelievable. The movie Speed. So.
It's amazing how boring you can make a movie.
Wow. I never gave it the time of day. I never saw it.
I will say, though, what is that movie? Narc. There's a movie called Narc that is really, really great, press, if you ever had a chance to check it out.
Okay.
I know you won't.
You should check that out.
I won't. Yeah. Like this.
He's 53 today. Greg Kinnear is good as gets. Little Miss Sunshine. Lots of great movies. Autofocus, which is a very disturbing film. About actor, what was his name?
Bob Crane.
Bob Crane, yeah.
And Bob Crane was brutally murdered. He was into levels of kink that you can scarcely imagine. The guy from Hogan's Heroes, the guy from Super Dad, remember the Disney movie?
Mm-hmm.
But all those scenes, Preston, are based on, you know, people have seen a lot of that, what went on. Mm-hmm. Now there's a scene where he's sitting in his basement with his buddy, played by Willem Dafoe, and they just start taking care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You said brutally murdered. How was he murdered?
He was clubbed to death.
He was beaten to death?
Yeah. He was beaten to death with, video equipment.
Yeah, like a tripod. Like
a tripod, yeah. Wow. He's 56 today. Greg Kinnear, not Bob Crane. He's dead.
Yeah.
Joe Piscopo celebrates his birthday today. He's 76. I got a lot of them. Just to zip right through some of these. Newt Gingrich.
Yes.
Is 76 years old today.
He's the Joe Piscopo of politics.
That's
that's I'm trying to draw them together, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. There's some sort of thing that binds them all together.
Barry Manilow.
Yes.
Barry Manilow.
Luke Gingrich of music.
Well, they're the same age. He's 76 as well today.
Wow.
Boy, Barry Manilow had way, way, way too much plastic surgery done on his face.
He looks like a bird of prey right now. Yeah, he really does. He looks like a, I would say he's like a peregrine falcon, I think, most. But I remember, Preston, you know, how occasionally in your life you would purchase a record that you kind of held close as you left.
Don't let anybody see it.
I bought a Barry Manilow record. I think it was the greatest hits.
Well, he wrote the songs, man.
Yeah.
And make the whole world sing. He's 76. Venus Williams is 39 years old today.
Sensational.
Yep, absolutely. Jello Biafra from the Dead Kennedys. Local from Philadelphia, right? Oh.
I believe so,
61 years old today. And then the last birthday I saw is Kendrick Lamar, the rapper and songwriter.
Okay.
And Kendrick Lamar is 32 years old today.
Didn't he, wasn't he identified by then-President Obama as his favorite musician?
I don't remember.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday to everybody celebrating birthdays today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. Name the state that chose the sunflower as its state flower, and I will go to Matt to see if we can get the answer. Hey, Matt. Matt just hung up. Okay.
What?
I will go to Laura then. Hey, Laura. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Aren't you happy that Matt hung up?
Yes, I am.
All right, Laura, do me a favor. Tell me the answer. What state adopted the sunflower as its state flower?
That would be the fine state of Kansas.
That is correct.
We were just talking about Kansas.
That is correct. We had Chris Porter on. He's from Kansas. Laura, we got for you a pair of Longwood Gardens tickets. By the way, my wife just took my daughter and her friends to Longwood Gardens. That's where she wanted to go for a an end-of-the-year party, and they had a blast. They had a great time.
Were they there all day?
They were there all day.
I've been there before, but I didn't realize like you can actually spend all day there. Yeah. I mean, there's so much to do now.
It's great.
From morning's first blush to a rainbow every evening, summer's colors await at Longwood Gardens. Take in fountains, concerts, and acres of flowers all season long. And tickets are available at longwoodgardens.org. There it is. At the box office this weekend, number one was Men in Black International. It was a very, very slow weekend at the movies, but they managed to come out on top with 28 mil.
For
28 plus mil.
Summer opening, that's pretty slight.
Yep.
Yeah, I heard it was... I mean, we had a screening of it last week, and...
That was the Bill Weston review. It's...
That did sound like a Bill Weston review.
I give it two.
They said mediocre at best.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, it was enough to get it number one, but it was slow all around the box office, followed up by The Secret Life of Pets 2, Aladdin, Dark Phoenix, Rocket Man. Number six was Shaft, followed by Godzilla, King of Monsters, John Wick 3, and Late Night. And rounding up the box office was Ma! At number 10. All right, where do we begin? We begin with Cuba Gooding Jr. His lawyer, Mark J. Heller, claims that the footage of the actor with a woman who accused him of improperly touching her proves his innocence. Some disagree with Heller's conclusion, saying that it shows Gooding Jr. touching a woman improperly. The snippet was published by TMZ and appears to show Gooding at NYC's, Magic Hour rooftop bar and lounge as he puts his hand on or near the woman's leg and breast as his girlfriend, Claudine De Niro, sat between them. Heller told the Los Angeles Times, he's not alleged to have touched a leg. He was sitting with Claudine privately, and this woman was literally stalking them, following them from place to place. Cuba is a very, very polite man. He would never rebuff a fan, but this woman literally sat almost on top of Claudine.
Well, that you do see that in the video. So they're sitting by themselves, and then she comes over and sits really close to them.
Heller continues saying that Gooding is alleged to have squeezed her breast, but that he did not see any indication of that in the video. He said there's not a scintilla of criminal conduct revealed on that tape. Gooding has pleaded not guilty to misdemeanor charges, including one count of forcible touching and one count of sexual abuse in the third degree, according to the complaint filed by the Manhattan District Attorney. And he's free on bail now, so we'll see what legally ends up happening. Actress Dakota Johnson and Coldplay frontman Chris Martin have reportedly split.
What?
These are according to sources. Now, a source, in fact, told The Sun there was talk of engagement, but now he says that they've gone their separate ways, which has come as a real surprise to everyone.
It's the power of the goop.
Martin, who is 40.
Once you've had the goopster.
Martin, who is 42, and Johnson, who is 29, were first linked in January of 2018 when they were spotted together at a fashion show. While they didn't talk a lot about their relationship, they sealed their commitment in ink with matching Infinity tattoos in September.
Infinity lasts 2 years.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
How long's Infinity?
2 years and beyond.
Yeah. 2 years.
2 years and beyond.
I didn't like this pairing anyway, so.
I'm with you.
Listen, yeah. I didn't want them to get married, but I thought they should stay together for a little bit, you know.
They did, 2 years.
That's still not enough. Enough to find love.
I do have love coming up later on.
Love.
Yes, we have that love coming up later on in the entertainment report. The pair also vacationed with Johnson's ex, Gwyneth, and her husband, Brad Falchuk, in the Maldives over the Christmas New Year's break.
Yes, so. We're heading off to the Maldives. Yeah. Want to join us? Yeah. I'll bring plenty of goop.
So
here's who I want him to date. I want him to date another musician, and I think he and Brandi Carlile should get together.
Isn't she gay?
I don't know. Is she gay?
That's just a technicality.
Yeah.
I think she is.
Oh, well, then never mind.
He'll wear a long wig.
Why those two?
Because I really like her, and I really like him. And I think that they would be two great tastes that taste great together.
Okay, all right. Yes. But musically, you think they, I don't know Brandi Carlile. So.
Well, no, they can.
Yeah, why'd you even bring that up?
Musically, they can do their own things. I don't need them to hook up together to make music together.
She's married to a woman, so.
Oh, man.
Well, there you go.
Never going to happen.
You never know.
That's true.
You never know.
It could happen. Well, it looks like anything can happen. Look at Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn That's
was,
right.
was a man at
we
one
live in
point.
A crazy wackadoodle world.
That's right. Well, Caitlyn Jenner has made her feelings known about Khloe Kardashian's ex and made them crystal clear. On Sunday, the former Olympian shared a heartfelt Father's Day post paying special tribute to, quote, all the dads in my life.
All the dads in my life, especially the ones right now wearing pumps.
After starting with her father, William, Caitlin gave a shout out to sons Bert, Brandon, and Brody. I know, I didn't realize the B thing.
They did that too, didn't they?
Uh-huh. As well as Rob Kardashian.
That one. He was a mistake.
Caitlin went on to mention Kim's husband, Kanye, Courtney's ex, Scott Disick, and daughter Kylie's boyfriend, Travis Scott.
But did he shade Tristan?
Yes, she did. Yes, he did. I'm sorry.
Watch that.
She wrote, to all the dads in my life, happy Father's Day, starting with my father, a World War II veteran, dad, Bert, Brandon, Kyle, No, I'm sorry, not Kyle. There is no Kyle.
Oh, my God.
Kanye. So
Kyle,
when, so
Lonnie, and Jugdish.
I have lots to talk about.
Clayton.
Yeah, you're going to have lots to talk about. Yeah. That boy is a P-I-G-P.
She wrote to all the...
Guess what I am now. No guesses? No one knows.
She wrote...
No, not as it. I'm just this.
She wrote to all the dads in my life, Happy Father's Day, starting with my father, a World War II veteran. Dad, Bert, Brandon, Kanye, Rob, Scott, and Travis, Happy Father's Day. This is alongside a slideshow of images of all the proud papas. However, there was one father connected to the Kardashian Jenner siblings who didn't make the list, and you were correct, Steve. Tristan Thompson was left out of that list. So
I remember when I was in Nam.
It was a little tribute.
Took out a whole encampment of Charlie.
A nice little tribute.
Today, I was picking up my pantyhose.
Hey, you know what? I have a play. I'm going to play a little clip, Steve, a little audio. This is not one of the clips that we do at the end of the Entertainment Report.
Right.
But apparently, O.J. Simpson has announced that he's on Twitter.
Yes.
I've not. This is a video?
This became. So this popped up on my Twitter page. Okay. Someone retweeted it. I guess he did it over the weekend, Friday perhaps at the earliest. But yes, he has joined Twitter. Mm-hmm. And he is, again, he thinks Naked Gun just came out. And double murders were not committed, and that we're just waiting to find out how we can reintegrate OJ back into our lives.
Okay, so here's a clip. I've not heard this yet.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there, so this one, at the real OJ32, is the only official one. So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
I got a little getting even to do?
I got a little getting even to do.
Jeez.
Wow. By the way, 32 is my goal for how many heads I have in a basket.
Wow.
I mean, maybe pick other words.
Mm. Yes, but he has no sense of his of the public's perception of him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thrilled. I just cannot wait till he's posting on Twitter regularly.
One might want to live a quiet lifestyle after all that guy has had. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
I will make you love me.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you know what happens when you rebuff me?
Wow.
Do you want to go there?
Wow.
How about no social media? Just live.
LinkedIn at most.
Yeah. Nick, can you see how many...
It was over 500,000 last night.
Okay. All right. And he just signed up over the weekend, I guess. So, yeah. All right. We'll see.
I'm on Tinder now.
Yeah. Did any of you guys follow him?
Oh, hell no.
No.
No, I don't want to give this guy any attention whatsoever. Yeah, I want to ignore him as much as possible.
Yeah. I'm following the Gacy, John Wayne Gacy estate. So.
All right, moving on. Jennifer Aniston, Adam Sandler, who have been friends for decades, play a married couple in their new movie. And they had to pucker up for the new film. It's called Murder Mystery, and Aniston was literally counting down the days before their big scenes. Sandler was telling the Associated Press in an interview, he said, she loves it. He said, she sends me texts, 9 days till kissing, here it comes. So she was totally playing with him,
which is
hilarious.
They are good friends.
They are, and she had added with a laugh, yeah, get ready. However, the actress went on to share that before the camera started rolling, she made sure that Sandler did one very important thing to prepare. And he said, she said, I did have him learn to oil the beard up a little bit. And he concurred and said, yeah, she wanted me to have a nice soft beard. When it actually came time to shoot their kissing scenes, Adam said that his real life wife, Jackie, who makes a brief cameo in the film playing, quote, great looking flight attendant. That's her title. Was maybe a little too enthusiastic. He said, when we kissed, the only awkward part is hearing my wife on the side go harder, harder, kiss her harder and deeper. He said,
go deeper.
He said, they, meaning Jackie and the kids, watched the kissing. They loved it. They love Aniston and they want her to have good things. And they say, give her something nice. And Aniston added that was awkward.
So how difficult would it be were you to be cast in a play alongside, say, Kathy?
It'd be very difficult for her.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
And you had to have a passionate kiss.
Yeah, that would be awkward for both of us.
Yes, it would be a little bit awkward.
What about me? It'll be a little
But you know what? No, what I would do, though, to ease things up is right before we'd kiss, I would say,
I want you, girl.
Oh, dear. God.
I want you, babe. Or would it be that, or I'm going to make you feel so good? Yeah, which one would be
either
better?
Either or. Kathy, which is worse?
I'm going to make you think about cleaning.
I think the yours, Casey, because then it reminds me of you. So then it's like a double dose double of hell.
It's like being double teamed by Casey and Preston.
Seriously.
What girl doesn't dream about that?
Eiffel Tower.
All right. I'm going to make you feel so disappointed.
Murder Mystery, which is now streaming on Netflix, is the second film that they've made together over the years. In 2011, they were in a movie called Just Go With It. I don't remember that.
So he's trying to use her to get, was it Brooklyn Decker? Who is it?
Just another girl.
Another super hot. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So. I watched it. It's okay.
Is it okay?
Yeah, it's
but
okay.
Some of the Sandlers, even to me, bad Sandler is still pretty, like even Little Nicky, I really enjoy. Yeah. So he has to go a great distance to do something that's unwatchable. That Jack and Jill thing that he did where he played his own twin sister.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah. So anyhow, that's out if you want to see it. Chris Randone and Crystal Nielsen, who fell in love and got engaged on Bachelor in Paradise last June.
I love you.
Exchanged vows in front of fellow Bachelor Nation alum on the site of their very first date in Mexico.
Bachelor Nation.
Mm-hmm. So Nelson said, "We are so excited to start this new chapter of our lives together.
Here we are in Mexico. Ooh la la."
So
we shall have fajitas.
She said, we will have each other's backs forever. That's apparently her comment about that.
I like that kind of sex. Turn around.
Randone and Nielsen, both 31, became husband and wife in an intimate ceremony officiated by Chris Harrison.
Oh, my God. They went the full distance.
At the Vidante Hotel in Puerto Vallarta.
Vidante means whale's vagina.
Former Paradise castmates and Bachelor stars were on hand, including Ashley Iaconetti and Jared Hebon.
Thank you all for coming. I'm his best man. You're the best, bro. No, you are.
They all talk the same, so yeah.
Becca Cuffrin and Ben Higgins, they were there as well to witness the I do's.
When I first met him, he said, "I love this woman. I love her, and I want to pork her bad."
He's giving a speech.
We were taking a balloon ride over a volcano, and I knew I'd love her forever.
Yeah. So the mom gets
up.
He's my little boy.
They're all from the exact same gene pool.
Go for it.
So this capped off their whirlwind romance. Randone, a sales trainer, and Nielsen, a fitness coach. Each went on dates with other Paradise cast members, and eventually they found their way to each other and remained hot and heavy throughout the season.
I wonder which one of these shows has yielded, and there's not a lot of them, no matter which one you look at, but which one has yielded the most marriages?
Actual marriages.
Actual marriages that have
lasted more than a calendar year, right?
Yes, that aren't annulled within a month.
That are real.
Yes, that went for just to make it look nice for a while, and then everybody would forget about it by the time
they
got married. So, in the end, Randone proposed with a 2-carat, pear-shaped Neil Lane ring, and they sealed the deal with the marriage.
Look at how hard it is.
Yeah.
By the way, I got a text from Nick Murphy. Can I go back to the OJ thing?
Are we going back?
Did you notice? Nick noticed this, and he's right. OJ, sorry, let me turn this music off, sounds like Mr. McDowell from Coming to America. Did you guys notice that at all?
Mr. McDowell from
Coming to America. Who's that guy? John Amos?
John Amos. All right, let's try it. Here we go.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything.
This is America, Jack.
Yeah. Hey, only on.
A bit. John,
a little bit.
OJ sounds more murdery.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there. So this one, at the real OJ 32, is the only
His voice has gotten a little deeper.
It's
gotten
a little
raspier.
I tweeted out right after I saw him. I retweeted his tweet out, and it said, because it's the truth. I said, you got to admit it. He looks really good.
Great.
Double murderer, don't crack.
Yeah. Everybody should go out and murder two people if they want to look that good.
That's how I keep my youth.
The original ending for the movie Pretty Woman was about as grim as it gets, Julia Roberts reveals. In a conversation with Patricia Arquette for Variety, Arquette herself reveals that she auditioned for a dark, grittier version of Pretty Woman. And Roberts ended with the role, but in an upbeat rom-com. So this is what Patricia Arquette said. Many, many, many years ago, one of my early auditions was for a movie called 3000. Most people don't know that 3000 was the original Pretty Woman script. And the ending was really heavy, she says. And this was kicking off the interview with Julia Roberts. Roberts recalls that the script ended with her character being thrown out of a car before the driver threw the money on top of her, as memory serves, and just drove away, leaving her in some dirty alley.
And I was reading the interview, and she says, this isn't my kind of movie. And then it hit Disney.
And that's it. So that's what she says. Yeah, so Arquette says, so it really read like a gritty art movie. When you first read it, it was that incarnation. When she said the role, she landed the role, it was for a small movie company that folded shortly after, and the script landed at Disney. And she said, I thought, Disney, went to Disney, what are they going to do, animate it? And then she said, Gary Marshall came in. This is Julia Roberts talking. Gary Marshall came in, and because he's a great human being, he felt that it would only be fair to meet me since I got this job 3 days and lost it. And they changed the whole thing, and it became more something that is in my wheelhouse, she said.
So Richard Gere, when he was in here, he was talking about it. And he described it as, but it's Disney hookers.
Exactly. And that's how it ended up. But, I mean, it ended up being a huge success and really was the launch pad for her career.
That was her career, yeah.
Yep. Let's see. Bella Thorne posted naked pictures of herself after she says she was threatened with their release by a hacker.
She beat him to the punch.
Yeah, so this happens sometimes. People will get a hold of these and they say, I'm going to release them unless you give me this money. And they're like, all right, whatever, I'll put them out. And that's what she did. She said, I can sleep better tonight knowing that I took my power back. Here's the photos he's been threatening me with. In other words, here's my boobies.
She's been close to it anyway. Yeah. She posts very provocative pictures online.
Exactly.
That's why I put up all those pictures of my balloon knot year ago.
It's probably a good idea to just jump in front. Here's my butthole.
Here's my balloon knot.
Here's
what it looks like in case anyone has pictures.
Yeah.
You never know, and you wouldn't want to give the power to someone else.
What a great idea.
Right?
Do that now.
Absolutely. If you're
everyone,
home right now.
Share your bunghole pic.
Take your phone.
And take your power back.
Take the power back.
That's right. Before somebody else gets it.
She's in an she's one of these very lovely young ladies who dates one dirt bag after another.
Yeah, I know. And she's also, she posts a lot of very sexy photos of herself.
Yes.
And you see that a lot from girls her age. And, you know, eventually she'll go, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But whatever.
The balloon knot picture.
She's in charge. I don't know who's on the balloon
knot. Who is she?
She's an actress.
She was on a show on Nickelodeon, I believe, called, was it Shut Up and Dance? Or it was a dance show. Her and Zendaya.
Oh, so she was a singer?
No, they were. No. Damn it, I missed it.
God damn it.
No, she was a dancer.
Dance? Oh, my God!
Stop. She was in an Adam Sandler movie, too, right?
She was in Blended. Blended, so she was a very sort of tomboyish girl. And so I forget who is the woman in it who is...
Drew Barrymore.
Hold on. Nick. Does her up.
I'm going to go. I want to see what it would have been the beginning of her career, what the name of that show was.
Is she a singer?
It was Shake It Up. That was it.
Shake It Up.
Yeah, her and Zendaya, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that correct?
I missed the Bella Thorne boat.
But she's taking the power back, and she's posted pictures of her boobies.
Empowerment through balloon knots.
Khloe Kardashian and Lamar Odom may not be together anymore, but since Khloe can still celebrate his success, she did so on Friday. The former NBA player shared a lengthy note from her about his memoir, Darkness to Light, which has landed on the number 6 spot in the New York Times bestsellers list for sports and fitness. He captioned it, "Wow, don't know where to begin. We did this. We made a New York Times bestsellers list for my book, Darkness to Light. What felt like a lifetime of writing and working on this project finally came to light, and I am grateful to you all."
It was a lifetime when you're typing with just one finger.
He said, "Your continued support and love is appreciated. It took a lot of courage for me to get so raw and candid with you all, but I wanted you guys to get my true story." In response, highlighted by comments by celebs, she wrote, this is what apparently Khloe wrote.
"Dearest Lamar.
No.
I'm thinking about you right now, and I'm so proud of what you did with your book. Listen, it didn't work out with us. I was just a crazy young woman who had no idea what I wanted out of life. But really, congratulations.
Jeez,
stop
good
thinking
Lord.
About that last bit for a second there. So
you
that
can
was
probably hear my heart.
No, not teletype. I wanted
I'm
to
very busy type. I'm wanting to check my stocks.
All right, anyhow, no. Actually, what she wrote...
She's like Gomez Adams standing next to the machine at home.
What she wrote was, look at God.
Look at him! Look at what he has done! What have he wrought? Look at him!
What does that mean, look at God?
I don't know.
I don't understand. Okay, so she wrote, look at God.
It's like amazeballs?
3 exclamation points. Congratulations, Lammy.
You're my little lamb.
Keep shining.
What?
I used to work on a sheep farm. I wouldn't shear them. I'd just grab their lips and rip the flesh right off.
Grab their lips?
Yeah, and just pull back towards their asses. The entire skin would come off.
Oh, no, wow. Chloe, no!
Okay.
Use the razor!
All right, well, anyhow, she wrote...
Chloe, sorry.
She wrote, look at God.
Look at him!
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Won't you go blind if you keep staring up?
Yeah, you're supposed to, right? Yeah, you can't.
We assume God's up there, right?
Him in his hole.
Doesn't live in Kensington in an apartment.
We'll destroy you. Congratulations, Lammy. Keep shining. So that's what she wrote.
You're my widow wham.
All right. Oh, you know what? One more thing, because Courtney Cox celebrated her 55th birthday, and she toasted her birthday with a little help from her famous friends. And by that, friends, I mean the TV show Friends.
Those friends?
Jennifer Aniston and Lisa Kudrow celebrated with her. That's nice. Cox shared a selfie of the trio writing, how lucky am I to celebrate my birthday with these two? I love you girls so much.
So it was Aniston and...
Kudrow.
And a picture with Cox.
And Cox, yeah. Yeah,
friend.
Exactly. Yep. Aniston, Kudrow were with Cox. Correct.
We see a picture of Jennifer Aniston with Cox.
Yep. All right, let's do that.
You can find it anytime on Pornhub.
I'm sure you can. Let's do the clips now. Things may appear to be fancy and perfect in Grand Hotel, but family drama faces the longtime hotel owners. Here, Rosalind Sanchez discusses how the mother role was a difficult one to navigate. Here we go.
First of all, I've been a mom before on TV, but I have never played a mom of adult children. You know, and my kids are very different. There's a lot of issues within that trio. And then to be able to gel these two families together, it becomes very dysfunctional.
You're a complete dirty whore.
Grand Hotel premieres tonight, 10 o'clock on ABC.
They've done this. There was the classic great movie Grand Hotel, then there was a series with Connie Selica. Do you remember that? And I guess this is another one.
Mm-hmm. It was just called Hotel.
Was it Hotel? Yeah. It's based on Grand Hotel, yeah.
Here's the next clip. After the emotional conclusion of Toy Story 3, Toy Story 4 has a lot to live up to. In this clip, Tom Hanks explains how seriously Pixar is taking the challenge to make this movie special. Here we go.
Everybody who's ever worked on any Toy Story movie does not take their responsibility lightly in order to test this and not put it out until there's a reason to. And it will live up to the imprimatur of all the other Toy Story movies.
Yeah!
Toy Story 4 will be in theaters on Friday. We, however, have a screening tonight at the IMAX King of Prussia screen. So I have... Wow. Five of these to give away. Five pairs of the tickets. 215-263-WMMR. It's at 7. You'll need to be there by 6:30 to make sure that you get a seat. And like I said, it doesn't open in theaters until Friday. So let's get you on board.
Quick thing. I know we have to move on, but the most emotional moment of any Pixar movie, one moment, one scene, what destroys you the most?
Probably the beginning of Up when they're going through the life story of the couple together. It's just heartbreaking. And it's not a spoiler.
I mean, you know, it's right in the beginning.
Yeah, it's right in the very beginning. And when she dies, I mean, it's like, oh, my God.
All right. You picked a good one.
Probably that one or
Inside Out
where they. Oh, God, I'm saying that.
What did I do to you?
Where she starts to realize that sadness is not such a bad thing. And they're comforting their daughters. Oh, my God. Shut up. We're taking a break.
Shut up.
We are going to reveal a few things this morning. One of them being a. The results of the blood drive, the Presidency, I believe for Presidency blood drive on Saturday. We're going to get those numbers in, and when we get to the Bizarre File time, we're going to reveal what those numbers are. So We'll recap a little bit of that as well. You guys have to tell me what went on, so I missed out.
Yes.
I apologize.
And you'll tell us what went on in St. Louis.
Correct. And we will speak to the coach of the St. Louis Blues and former Flyer Craig Berube this morning. We're also going to speak to former Flyer Chris Therrien, who will be in our studio because he's got a charity event that's coming up on Wednesday. And on top of that, charity event on Thursday, the Mutiny on the Mooshulu Mew 2 is taking place. Steve and Claire Morrison, who are the spearheading this event, are highlighting what's going on. And some of the restaurants that are participating are going to be stopping by today. So we'll get you the details and everybody and what all is involved. But that's Thursday on the Mooshulu. What time should people get there,
Steve? So it's 6 to 9, and right. You can get your tickets online at presidentsteve.com or maxfun.com. And a couple people from the show are going to be out there. We look forward to having you out.
Cool. We'll take a break and be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Thrice. Shine now. Papa Roach.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
See, there's bundt cakes in the green room. and that is Nothing Bundt Cakes, who are part of Mutiny on the Mooshulu Mew 2, which is coming up on Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. on the deck of the Mooshulu at Penn's Landing. These guys and Nothing Bundt Cakes were at the CCF walk, that we had, Crohn's and Colitis walk, and we took home three of them. We bought the Buntinis.
The Buntinis.
The little Buntinis are phenomenal. So real eggs, butter, and cream cheese. Nothing is too good to achieve perfection, and perfection is in every bite of a Nothing Bundt Cake or Buntini. You can visit them at 333 East Lancaster Avenue, Wynwood, or online at nothingbuntcakes.com. And all the information on the Mutiny on the Mooshulu 2 is available at PrestonandSteve.com. So make sure that you take a look, because that is this week. We're going to have head coach of the St. Louis Blues and former Flyer Craig Berube on the show this morning. Also, Chris Therrien will be stopping in today, so a few people to talk to. And results of the I Bleed for Presidency Blood Drive coming up with the Bizarre File, which we'll get to in the next, half hour or so. So that will be coming up. I have a few stories to go through, some odds and ends, if you will.
Really?
That I found amongst some stories this morning that were...
Let's take a sachet down to the odds and ends store. I know there's really no such thing, but for this purpose, it'll work just fine.
That's right.
Oh, look over there. There's the owner and proprietor, Preston Elliott.
Hey, welcome, y'all.
Looks like he spent a good portion of his weekend getting lit up, but he's doing fine right now.
It happened, and listen, I had a nasty headache while I was flying back yesterday. So nothing like a travel day and a pulsating headache.
Anytime you have a headache, get into a pressurized cabin.
Right.
Only make it better.
Right. But what I've never had before is something called a sex headache.
Sex headache.
And apparently it's a real thing. There was a lengthy story that I found online about a woman who had this horrible, horrible headache. I mean, it was like, just mind-splitting. And she ended up going to the doctor, and they were afraid that she may have had a tumor or a brain bleed.
Whoa.
And the doctor had said, it seems that it's just a sex headache.
It's just a sex headache, baby.
And I've never heard of this. Never heard of this before. She said, as sexual excitement increases, this is according to the doctor, pressure can build up, can cause a dull pain in the back of your head. And this is the woman recounting this. She said, he told me that I wouldn't necessarily get sex headaches every time that I orgasmed, but warned that the problem could last a while. And she said, if so, you need to take painkillers beforehand.
I understand that if you have a sex headache, if you have a propensity for that.
Yeah.
During sex, if you eat a turkey leg, it will help mitigate
that'll
that.
Settle things down a little bit.
It has to be it has to be mostly dark meat, obviously. You eat the turkey leg while you're having sex, and then you'll be better.
I saw the hotline light up, and I saw Marissa smile.
It's maybe one of our turkey leg providers.
No,
Or Dr. Mike.
It's got to be Dr. Mike. I don't even see his name up on the screen, and I know it's Dr. Mike. So apparently he's familiar with sex headaches. So Dr. Mike Sergiolano, Fox 29 Penn Medicine. Good morning, Dr. Mike.
I love you guys, and when you're talking sex and headaches, you're thinking me.
That's right. It. Whenever I just think of sex, I think of you. So that's our relationship. You know that.
Yes, I do. Now, what you're speaking of is post-coital headaches, post-coital headaches.
Okay.
And it's a very common thing. In fact, members of your staff, and unless I get permission, I cannot talk about it, sometimes get them. I will not say who. But, you know, the bottom line is that it's very common.
We're all looking at each other, by the way. Now.
I know. And no eye contact from anybody yet. I'm sorry.
Well, we'll keep it that way.
Just keep it on the hush. But, Mike, is this – because I've had – my experiences have been with the pre-coital headache, which seems to be an epidemic.
Well, that I have experienced that many a time.
Okay,
but this is actually occurs afterwards.
All right,
and can lead to a fairly significant problem. And what I do, and what many people do, is they evaluate the headache before you do anything because you don't want to miss a brain tumor, God forbid. But you know, this is a more of a benign kind of headache and not anything you need to get all alarmed about, but you should definitely get it checked out. You definitely need to have a scan to make sure there's nothing else going on.
Can one do – if one – because I know sometimes if I get tired, you'll get a tired headache or whatever, you know, or whatever that technically is. But is there some sort of precaution someone in general can take prior to sex if they get these now and then to stop that from happening? Well, I recommended a turkey leg, but I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, if it's a recurrent problem, there are medications available to prevent it from happening. But again, you want to make sure, one, that you don't have high blood pressure, two, that there's not some underlying organic anatomic problem. But I have seen it on a number of occasions. And again, it's not necessarily associated with anything bad, but it can be problematic, and you do need to treat it if it's hindering your life.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the heads up, Dr. Mike.
Well, I heard sex and headaches.
No, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, I love you guys.
We love you.
Yeah, Dr. Mike. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
This might be similar, Preston. I was watching the Love Boat last night, and there was a woman who couldn't have sex because she giggled through it. And I wonder if this is similar.
Seriously?
Oh, I'm serious.
I believe it.
Love Boat wouldn't.
Oh, my God. You know what's funny? Not even funny. It's just ironic and bizarre and just a bit of a bummer is that from time to time, nature will throw at you something that prevents you from doing what you love to do most. So here's somebody who's a sex headache. It's, you know, that's the thing. That's the one thing that can give you pleasure above all other things in the world.
It can be a solo or team activity.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's not, and it's weatherproof.
Yeah.
You don't need special equipment.
Right.
It's the perfect hobby, and here comes this headache.
So I went to my orthopedic surgeon the other day to get my, I've been doing physical therapy on my shoulder.
From pleasuring yourself.
Not from pleasuring myself. It's an age thing, and I've overused it. And so you guys know my hobby, my passion outside of just living life is playing golf. And so the doctor tells me essentially in so many words, deal with it. You know, there's nothing we can do about it, and you've got pain, and it's either that or surgery. You're not necessarily, you don't qualify for surgery. If you want surgery, you can get it. Is it going to help you? I don't know. Is it going to be really, really, really painful to recover from? Yes. And he essentially said, look, there's about, you know, maybe like 8 or 10% of things that you used to be able to do, you're not going to be able to do now. And I was like, I was thinking, and one of those is the thing that I love to do the most.
You son of a bitch.
You know?
Yeah. Well,
so it's funny I'm to
not
say
gonna,
that.
I'm not going to have to give the game up.
Right.
I'm just not, I've already noticed I can't play as well as I could before the injury, so. Right.
I will tell you this, and let this serve as encouragement for you. You know that in these very studios, I suffered a profound skipping accident.
That's right.
And I love to skip.
You skip everywhere.
And I skip everywhere, but I seriously had something that was effed up for a while.
Yeah.
And I kept hiking, I kept at what I love to do. And it's gone now. I have massive sex headaches, but...
It's a side effect. No, but I mean, I feel for anybody who has something that happens in their life physically that will now inhibit you from doing the thing that you just love to do.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I mean, I'll find something else to do eventually, but something you really love to do and all of a sudden you can't do it anymore... That's with it.
Yeah.
It's a mental thing as well. It kind of hurts you mentally.
So I was just thinking about this the other day when it comes to like married couples and when a spouse restricts activities from another spouse, that makes me mad. If both spouses like are contributing to the marriage and to the family and all that sort of stuff, right? So
My wife and
not completely on board, but if you could...
he'll get there.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes a husband will go, no, you're not allowed to do that. Or a wife might say, like, no, you're not allowed to go out with your friends or whatever. Listen.
Don't get in that van with that guy.
if you're a recidivist, if you're like... an alcoholic, and every single time you go out with your buddies, something bad happens, right. Then I understand a wife going, dude, don't go out with your boys, But
right.
So the point I'm trying to make here, Preston, is years and years ago, I was playing softball, and I was also, I stopped playing softball to play baseball on Sundays, and I was getting a little bit of guff from my wife, okay. and I think I presented to her a valid argument. I said... All right, you guys aren't paying attention. I'll finish the game.
I am paying attention. Let me recount to you exactly what you said. On Sundays, you were playing softball, but then you graduated to baseball.
I graduated to baseball, and I was kind of getting like a hard time.
I was following it 100%.
Yeah, but I had said to my wife, I said, listen, there's going to come a day where I physically won't be able to do this anymore.
Right.
Right? So please let me do this while I can do it, and I still want to do it, because at a certain point, nature's going to step in and say,
yeah,
you can't do this anymore. So right. Please let me do this while I'm okay at it, and I like to do it. You know what I mean? So and I think it was actually a winning argument.
And so, okay. So if you want to talk about the way you handle this kind of issue when you can't agree. OJ's on Twitter now.
Stop it.
He's got advice that might work for you.
I know what you're saying, Casey. Yes, yeah. And that's valid. As long as it isn't whatever you're doing, you're not consumed by it, and it's taking up all your time,
right.
and you're not avoiding your standard duties as a husband.
You can't be rendering yourself. And if somebody's looking out, and they want you not to injure yourself. You understand that.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying.
One of my best friends is deaf in one ear, and there is a surgery that can correct that. But if he were to have this surgery, he would never be able to do anything that physical ever again. He like roughhousing with his kids or wrestling or doing anything. And
why?
Because
it'll throw off his balance?
It would run the risk of doing permanent damage to his ear, where he's already deaf anyway, but he might go, it could make it worse. So essentially, he has this dilemma. Do I get the surgery and be able to hear in both ears, or do I not? And he's resigned himself to just live with it, and he's gonna go about the rest of his days being deaf in one ear.
I actually started to look up, hobbies to do, other things that I may want to do down the road.
All right, so here, I say this, soldier through, power on through. I would say this. By the way, that's a weird way to approach someone,
but he was being straight with me.
I know. But I mean, listen, if you do the therapy and you work on it and again, I've had so many times in my life where I'd have something that kind of, I sort of just kept at it and powered through, and it went away.
Yeah.
So obviously there are things that will not. But in this case, like shoulder injuries and things like that, you take care of it if you do, if you're mindful and you don't go out and play 180 rounds of golf, you should be fine.
Well, and my brother has shoulder issues too. He actually had the surgery, and it was not easy at all. The recovery was not easy. He's still recovering months later.
How many months?
But when did he have? I forget when he had it exactly. But he uses the CBD oils.
Yeah,
and it's not permanent. But yeah, like if he, so he also plays golf. He's not back at it yet. But he was actually not able to sleep because it was so painful.
Yeah.
So he was putting that on it, and he said for a little bit of immediate relief, it helped.
Yeah, I'm just thinking along. Long range. And listen, I know there are people that have had horrible, real problems and things like that, but it just kind of sucks when all of a sudden you can't do the thing that you love to do anymore. Now, I'm still doing it, but not to the level that I want to be able to do it. But anyhow,
let's put it in this
at least
context.
It's not sex headaches.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank
You're
you.
Not having sex headaches.
I'm not having that. Yeah.
But who is on the show?
Somebody is.
I talked about this. It's me.
Is it you?
It's me. I had that halo headache.
Oh, I didn't know that was sex. You know what? Now I do remember you.
And you were having sex while playing Halo.
I was not. No. But it was scary, and I thought I was dying. So, I mean, it literally brought me. I thought I was going to, at that moment, I thought I was going to die. I had a headache that, went around the whole circumference of my head.
Wow.
It brought me to my knees.
That's what this woman thought was going on. Mm-hmm. They thought there may have been a brain tumor, or she had a brain bleed, and it turns out it was this thing called a sex headache, which I had never heard.
Think of the level of exertion during sex. I mean, all systems are, it's like, it's Chernobyl just before it goes.
And it's not just physical work. It's that endorphin rush and all that stuff in your head. You get kind of...
The regret,
the regret,
the inadequacy, the crying.
Yeah, all of that.
All of that figures
in. Disappointment.
The disappointment.
But believe me,
feeling dirty.
Mm-hmm. Just pay attention to, like, when you're doing that and when you're getting to, like, that point, sometimes you're like, you know, like, I can't.
I love golf.
No, but sometimes you put a lot of pressure in your head.
Yes.
And, like, and ever since that moment, I have to, like, relax. If ever I start, like, you know, I don't know what that, I don't know what you call that, but I don't do that anymore. Like, anytime.
I'm going to shoot.
Yeah. You should have seen Kathy's face when you did that.
I don't care. Listen.
I don't even want to think about that.
I don't want to have sex with you either, Kathy. It's not gross, but it just wouldn't be fun. All right?
At all.
Well, because, of course, they'd want to talk about work issues.
Not gross, but it just wouldn't be fun. All right, sex headaches. Next, let's see what else we can find in the store.
Back at the Odds and Ends store, Preston checking the shelves for more to talk about.
How about this? C-sections.
C-sections. Wow.
Cesarean sections. All right.
Yeah, I'm after sex.
These are way after sex. but apparently in Brazil, they do it a little differently there. And I'm not talking about
through the mouth?
I'm not talking about the procedure itself. They have apparently C-section parties. White glove C-section parties complete with mood lighting, chocolates, and fresh flowers.
Wow.
New mom Mariana Casmaia says, we get dressed up for the parties and special dates, and this is the same thing. The 28-year-old had a C-section at Albert Einstein Maternity Hospital in Sao Paulo with 15 of her friends and family members documenting the party on their smartphones. And elective C-sections, meaning that there's no medical reason to perform one, have become the preferred birth method among wealthy Brazilians who say that they are too busy and cautious to risk the unpredictability of natural childbirth.
So they elect to have the C-section regardless of their ability to deliver without it.
Wait,
you
so
you can't do that here, but you can do that there.
Are people coming to the party?
55, yeah.
Do they sell tickets?
55% of all deliveries in Brazil are done via C-section.
You can't do that for the first time here in the United States, but like after you've had a C-section, I mean,
I'm sorry.
I
thought this said illegal. It says in the U.S., elective C-sections are legal but discouraged.
Okay.
And only 32.9% of the births are C-section.
Oh, well, that's weird because all three of my kids were born via C-section, and, you know, the first one was not decided. It was. Unfortunately, you know, it had to happen that way.
Right.
But then the second two, we had, you know, scheduled those dates to have it.
Well, we were planning to do, it never actually made it onto the calendar, but a colonoscopy mixer. And this might be the same thing. Yeah.
I was not in that meeting.
This mother-to-be who was at the director, Marcia de Cosa of the Sao Paulo, Sao Luis Private Hospital, said it's cultural. This is where a mother-to-be can have her hair and makeup done, or they can rent the presidential suite featuring a living room, guest bathroom, balcony, and mini bar.
So may I ask you, during the actual procedure itself, you can't be, you know, tipping back champagne and all that stuff. I assume everyone gathers after the fact, or
there's no way the patient is actually having champagne at this point.
Right.
No. Who lets all those people in there this?
But that's my question. Are they actually physically in the room when the procedure? That would be, to me, would be a massive risk factor.
Well, and afterwards, you're like a little loopy.
They might be in there. They said Brazilians want to plan for everything. They don't want to hit traffic on the way to the hospital. They want to get their nails done, get a wax, to plan it like an event.
It's funny when you see women who have just given birth, and they post photos on social media, because some will take the time to do hair and makeup, and others are just like, nah, F it. This is what I look like, and it's terrible, and I accept that because I just gave birth, so screw you.
Event organizers have begun specializing in these sorts of birth parties, lending a hand with hiring stylists and caterers and stocking the bar and decorating.
Mm. It usually passing appetizers, or is there like a buffet table?
You know what? I don't know the details. The World Health Organization warns against the practice, which is historically nearly twice as deadly for moms than natural birth and can cause the baby respiratory stress. C-sections also require a long recovery time for both mom and baby. The procedure also has been linked to higher rates of diabetes and high blood pressure in children born this way. Never heard that before.
Wow.
They're also more expensive, but apparently worth the risk and cost to many Brazilian families who fear that their country's long history of understaffed and poorly supplied clinics, which don't always have the resources to monitor the long hours natural birth often requires. So, and some just want to guarantee that they get an appointment with their personal doctor rather than working with whichever doctor is available during labor.
Well, I had an achalasia procedure done at Penn, and I sprung for the crushed ice diet, which was delicious.
Oh, yeah.
All the crushed ice I could have, and it was wonderful.
You guys remember?
I guess it was a party.
I shared the story with you a long time ago, but my cousin was having her first child and had to get moved out of the maternity ward where she was because Britney Spears was also having a baby at the same time.
Yeah.
And Britney Spears essentially paid to have the entire wing of the hospital private. And so my cousin had to give birth someplace else in the hospital because of Britney Spears had the ability to pay for her own room and her own wing.
How do you do that? How do you move someone out of a room like that?
Yeah,
you
know? But
I mean, I could see if it was Christina Aguilera.
Right. Yeah.
She can actually sing.
She's got more range.
But there are, like, at Penn and Jefferson and different hospitals in the city, you can, like, upgrade your experience or upgrade your room, I guess. And you pay a little extra and you essentially get your own room. It's a little bit more of a suite feel than a hospital room. But people can, if they have the money and they want to do it, they can upgrade.
Dude, I have the brochure that they just to see what it looked like. They had one, and it's I think it's called the tower or something at Penn. But it's and the menu and everything is more gourmet chef style stuff.
Like, yeah,
but you're right. It's like staying in a Hilton.
But you have to pay for it. It's like staying at a hotel.
Right.
So none of my kids were born at Riddle, but I know that they, like, the rooms that the mothers stay in are bigger than any of the other rooms.
For your C-section party?
Well, not just for C-section, but the night before the mother goes home with the baby, they have, like a nice candlelit dinner. They'll do that for the mother and the husband,
Nice.
Well, most
pregnant.
Of the time, husband. Sometimes people have babies out of wedlock, but,
It does happen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyhow. If you want that party, go to Brazil. You can get it done.
Okay.
One last item and find on the shelves. Let me dig
one
in
more
here.
For the odds and ends segment.
Yes.
Episode with Preston.
This is apparently a new trending pose as far as social media goes, and I have not seen this yet, but apparently the flamingo.
Oh, okay.
No. All right. The new
leg?
The one leg?
Yep. And it's the person, usually female, photographed with one leg straight, the other knee bent into a triangular shape.
That's old, though. That's just,
is it?
Yes, that's just coming back around now with the new influencers.
So now, I have the vision. I have it in my head. Can you show me real quick?
I mean, I just think it's standing with one leg up.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like this.
Do you remember the beginning of Three's Company?
That's stupid.
Yes.
In the beginning of Three's Company.
You're exactly right.
Right?
Does she?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Terry does it. And raises the... Now, Preston, if people were falling off cliff sides before doing selfies...
Yeah,
wait till this happens.
So apparently Beyonce, Kendall Jenner, and Hailey Bieber have been posting photos of themselves in the flamingo.
The flamingo.
You think OJ's going to do it?
Of course.
Look at him, a flamingo.
Yeah. I have not noticed this yet, but...
Well, now that you've read it, you're going to notice it all over.
What was there was another Instagram.
You turn sideways a little bit when you go like this?
I think you can. You can go straight on. You can go sideways.
On looks kind of
Dude,
stupid.
You're turning it on.
But look at this photo that's up. Your knee is up and you kind of like angle it in. So
you cross it over a little bit.
Who doesn't look normal in that pose? That's bizarre. There was another Instagram pose that was making the round. Oh, I'll find the article and send it to you. It's something similar like this, but just as dumb. You know, I guess... Somebody has to come up with the new pose for Instagram.
Lay on your back and grab your ankles.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
it. Look at that. It looks like a balloon.
Right? Exactly. So this is apparently one. Listen, I very, very rarely report on social media trends because they come and go within days.
That's what the odds and ends store is for.
I know. Yeah, so we can get them out there and move them along. One last thing, since that was so short.
Once more from the odds and ends store, Preston misestimated the length of that last feature, so we have another one for you.
Yes, it was kind of lame and boring. And
it was short and quick, but it was still entertaining.
A YouTube beauty guru has been accused of releasing a cosmetic line that features lipstick that is being described as lumpy and hairy.
Ew!
There's like stuff in it?
Yeah.
Lumpy and Harry were a great vaudeville act.
You Jaclyn Hill released Jaclyn Cosmetics 2 weeks ago, and some fans took to social media to complain about defective products. Some posted pictures of the Lumpy and Harry lipsticks.
So there's actual, like, junk in it?
Yeah, yeah, there's stuff in it. So,
like pre-used lipstick?
Yeah, so let's see. YouTube beauty blogger Raw Beauty Christie posted a review of the lipstick, tweeting, "All I can say is WTF." Another Twitter user tweeted, "I got my lipstick today, and it's got all these little scratchy balls in the lipstick."
Oh,
scratchy balls.
Disgusting.
She said, "I don't understand."
He plays a mean zither, Preston.
So Hill took to Twitter to report and say, if any of you are receiving lipsticks like this, please know that this is not hair. My factory used brand new white gloves to do quality control, and they shed all over my product. So it's the gloves.
Oh.
So it was a mistake?
We switched to rubber gloves 2 days ago, and we'll make sure that this never happens again.
Quick question. Okay. So, and I don't know because I never went, but when you go in and you see those cosmetic display areas in like, you know, department stores or whatever, they used to have sample lipsticks. Was the idea you would go over and put some on or?
Yeah.
Somebody else had it on their lips. Lipstick?
Yeah, but don't you remember? Somebody sued, I forget who it was, Sephora or Ulta, because they got herpes from it.
Mm,
yeah.
Really? Why? Uh-huh. It should have been advertised as a herpes bar to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, if you go to, like, higher-end places, they have like, cleaning products that they put on it.
You trust that?
Are you kidding?
No.
Not a chance in hell. But they also use, like, they'll use a separate, like, if you're using mascara, they'll take, you know, the brush that's in there out and put, like, a disposable brush in.
Like pink
and
eye.
And hand that to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I've noticed, like, in cosmetic sections of department stores, like Target or something like that, I've seen this several times, so tell me if you've seen this before. They have displays all around with celebrities' faces.
Yeah.
That, you know, that are endorsing whatever product it may be. And I've seen that people have taken, like, lipsticks and so forth and, like, smeared them all over.
On there?
On the pictures. Have you ever seen that before?
Yeah, I have. I think sometimes it's to, like, check out a color. But okay. I don't know. Or maybe it's just to...
Or I wasn't sure if it was, like, some kind of bizarre protest or something like this. You know...
Natural
beauty.
I don't know. Communism. So.
But I've seen it enough times ago... Somebody's doing that on purpose.
Don't you think right now the thing is, would they take a digital picture of your face and apply that color to your face in a virtual, right? Oh, and then, Kathy, work on that.
I mean, listen, I've always used it like on my hand to check the color. I'm not putting it on my lips.
Okay. All right, fair enough, but beware the hairy lipstick.
Yes, okay.
Exactly. The hairy, scratchy ball lipstick. All right, anyhow, these are just a few odds and ends from the store. Want y'all to come on back sometime.
Yeah.
Never know when there might be a sale going on.
There's never a sale going on.
I know.
In fact, you jacked the prices up 25%.
All right, well, listen, here's what we're going to do. We are going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. When we return, I've received the totals from the I Believe for Presidency blood drive, which took place on Saturday. So we're going to reveal those numbers and thank a few people for the event, especially you for being there. And we're going to get to the bizarre file. And then after that, Craig Berube, former Flyer, head coach of the St. Louis Blues, Stanley Cup winner, and saw him this weekend, which was pretty cool.
Very cool.
Not that I didn't, like, spend time with him or anything like that, but I
saw him from a distance.
And Chris Terrian will be here, too. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I saw you having a s'more just a moment ago.
Yes, tuck-ins.
Yeah, tuck-ins, s'mores are here, and they are part of Mutiny on the Mooshaloo Mew 2, which is taking place on Thursday, presented by Max Fun, which is the fund that Steve and Claire started.
Yeah, it benefits homeless and feral cats in and around the area, and it provides a general fund for all different anybody who endeavors to help animals in the area. They can pull on the fund. So it was a hit year one. This is the second year, and we're hoping for the same.
We're going to do some ticket giveaways for that event in a little while. But by the way, tuck-ins contain everything that you know and love about s'mores, and then some. Each tuck-in consists of handmade graham cracker, dark chocolate, all tucked into an all-natural handmade marshmallow, and it's already on a stick.
Yes.
You can check them out at tuckins.com. So we thank them for being here this morning. Before we get to the bizarre file, I understand there was a little event on Saturday.
Yes.
And I was only there in effigy.
No, well, effigies has a more where we didn't burn you. You were there in spirit. We'll say you had a You had a presence there in spirit. Listen, there was just a bizarre confluence of things. No one could have ever anticipated that the Blues would win the Stanley Cup. So you were out for that. But yep. We carried on. And Preston, it was just from the first seconds of walking into the convention center at Oaks, you could start to say, okay, I think we're gonna do something here this yeah. time around.
Well, we had found out that last year our blood drive came 12 units shy of setting a national record for the largest blood drive in the country
yeah.
for that year, for last year. And so we were going to try to aim for beating the record or claiming the record for this past year. And I think they go from July to July is when they take a look at the calendar.
And knowing all the time that whatever we had was, you know, it would be icing on the cake because just getting the blood in the first place is the most important thing. And that's part of the deal. But you still want, if it came that close, you might as well go for it.
Yeah. Hey, man, nothing wrong with shooting for the highest level that you can get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we put the word out that we wanted to have the biggest blood drive in the country. And I have the totals that came through. A little drum roll here. So it was over the course of a few hours on Saturday, the I Bleed for Presidency blood drive brought in 1,416 pints, the biggest blood drive in the nation! Whoa!
That's freaking awesome.
Yes, it is.
Freaking awesome.
That's incredible. So we had a record number of signups, and I don't know what exactly the turnout numbers or percentages were, but they were super duper high enough to have the largest blood drive in the United States.
I know that we had something on the order of 1,700 signups.
Wow. And 1,416 pints.
Yeah.
Collected. That's massive. That's a huge return.
And we had, and I told you this as we were talking yesterday, by far the most amount of people ever who did the double red.
Yep.
Which one person yields basically two usable pints.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing.
Oh, that's phenomenal. So congratulations, everyone in the Delaware Valley. You did it. A lot of people to thank. The Red Cross, obviously, in order to do something this size, and they knew that we wanted to go for a record. So they made sure that we had many, 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 many people on board to help out with that. So thank you to Garrett Reed and Lana Mauger of the Red Cross for helping out or to, you know, doing all of that work. It was crazy. The Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks, big fans and proud to host. Bill and Christina led the team there. Thank you to Window Nation. They sponsor and pay for the pint glasses. And this year, the glasses that we gave out, this year's artwork was thanks to our own Connor Betts.
Oh!
Connor came up with that logo.
I didn't know that.
Nobody told us that. So, Connor, awesome. The pint glass is phenomenal.
I think we set another record. I only saw one glass break.
Really?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That's excellent. Also, thank you to our buddy Brian from Chorus Photography. Brian took some pictures. I've only seen a handful of photos, and by far one of my favorite pictures ever of Casey and Kathy together.
Right?
Yeah. Is Casey, Kathy riding on the back of Casey riding a bike. And they're riding double.
Yeah.
And it's such a great picture. You two look like you're having so much fun.
Look at how happy
Kathy is.
I know.
Well, she was deathly ill at that point, but it was still, she was having enough fun because she was standing on the bar on the back.
Yeah.
And that was Casey, the bike that you were raffling off.
Yeah, so I'm still raffling that off, by the way. But,
it's a nice bike.
It is. Well, so it's the SC bikes, the Southern Cal Flyer. Yeah, those are like the cool bikes that the kids are riding.
Oh, it's really cool.
Yeah.
So Casey and I have, Casey and I have a picture from Camp Out for Hunger on the can drop. And it's a great picture. It's from years ago. We're both screaming as it drops down.
Yeah.
I think this might take over as my new favorite photo.
You guys look so damn amazing. Adorable.
Like kids.
You look like little kids.
I know.
The looks on your faces, it's just glee. Well, I can't think of a better word than that.
Also, look at the room. It's this huge convention floor that you can ride around on. It was just great. Yeah.
And Kathy, you know, guys, doesn't hate me as much as you would think.
I don't hate you at all. Stop it.
No, just a percentage.
Just a little bit.
Thank you to Brian from Chorus Photography. 50%. Photos from the event are posted now at presidentsteve.com, and Brian does amazing with the photography. Amy Sala and Aim High Studios, based in Fairview Village in the Eagleville, PA area, they provided the kids' games and activities from Beanie Bounce Party Rentals. So that's huge, keeping the kids entertained while the people are waiting to get that stuff done.
I wanted to play.
But you didn't have time. You were working. Thank you to Sharon and Jim Sayers from Paint a Treasure, Paint and Take Art Studio in Haddon Heights in Hamilton, New Jersey. They've been helping out for ages as well. They also do the Alex's Lemonade Stand, so thank you guys. We couldn't do it without you. Christine Reighart and Bob Evans Restaurant in Oaks, they supplied the fresh baked cookies.
They were right across from us.
And Nick and the gang from Rita's Water Ice for providing their water ice for all. So we need all of these things to take place. By the way, the biggest year we've ever had in all the time of doing this was in 2008. So, you know, 11 years ago, we brought in 1,367 pints. This year, 1,416 wow. pints. Yeah. The biggest blood drive in the country.
And there was like a whole bunch of listeners who brought by things. Like, there was a guy who brought by like boxes of of candy bars.
Jim
works for M&M Mars. He was one of the engineers for our VAG project years ago. And Jim's a great guy. And yeah, I mean, a whole bunch of listeners dropped off a lot of really nice presents. Matt, who works at Wawa and was at the Camp Out for Hunger for a few years, dropped off the cheese and crackers and grapes snacks for everybody. So people are just really generous with their time, with their blood, certainly. And they give up their Saturdays to come be a part of the blood drive. So,
a beautiful Saturday, by the way.
Absolutely, yeah. Also, thank you to Sandy Bennett. She's a listener of the show. Big fan. But she's also like a huge movie buff. And so she brought by a whole bunch of like movie things. Like, Kathy, you got your first man pouch from the movie First Man, and right. Like so she dropped off a whole bag of stuff for us to give away.
Very cool.
Yeah, really, really sweet.
So excellent work, guys. Sorry I wasn't a part of it. Of course I wasn't there for the big record breaker, but we'll have to do it again next year.
You were there for the ramp up, the promotion of it, which helped make, and honestly that was all the deal. And not one person said, oh, that rad pastor. They understood the history of what you're a part of, as we now find out we're making history ourselves. So that's it was cool. Great.
Yeah, and I was reminded, and I'm going to do this now, so I apologize, guys, but I was supposed to wish a happy 40th birthday to Denise Amalfitano last week. This is like one of my best friends growing up, his sister. Like, I know her really well, and I was supposed to wish her a happy birthday at 40th. Earlier last week, I totally forgot. So, Denise, happy birthday. Belated.
There it is.
Also, Pierre Robert came and broadcast, which was really cool, and he sounded awesome. So it was nice of him to give up his Saturday, and Joe Bell and his wife Kat stopped by towards the end of the blood drive, so it was great to have them there.
Yeah, I want Pierre there. I'm going to commit him to it now, whether he can do it or not. It was so great having him there because he brings the right energy. And the station just sounded great. And, you know, honestly, it was a great time. So you'll be there next year when we reset the record
there
again.
Keep raising the bar. That's what we're going to do. So thank you, Delaware Valley. You did amazing. All right, we need to do the Bizarre File stories, so we shall do them now.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Sequoia Outback. Create the backyard of your dreams at Sequoia Outback on Route 309 in Hatfield or online at decksupplies.com. An absent-minded cardiologist left a 57-inch metal wire inside the body of a decorated Air Force veteran who didn't even realize something was wrong until 10 years later.
Oh, 10 years after the fact.
57-inch long.
Wow.
Yeah, metal wire. The guy's name is German Ortiz. He moved to Las Vegas after spending 22 years in the Air Force. He learned in 2015 after an X-ray ahead of surgery to clear some blood clots that a wire was running inside his body all the way from his aorta to his thigh.
He wondered why he was able to stream the show on his colon.
Ortiz's attorney, James Jimerson, laid out the vet's claim to a jury Tuesdays. During the opening statements of the medical malpractice trial expected last week, Ortiz receiving damages of about $800,000 from cardiologist Mark Taylor.
All right, so what happens? This guy obviously doesn't know what's in his body.
No.
What happens if he then has to have an MRI? You know how they always have you remove all the metal and stuff like that?
That is an incredibly good question because that...
Would that suck it out of his body?
Well, they would... I don't know.
It can cause problems, definitely. Ortiz was rushed to a hospital in 2005 for shortness of breath, and doctors later determined he had congestive heart failure, which necessitated an angiogram. Jimerson explained that the wire served as a guide for the catheter and kept the device stiff as it was inserted through Ortiz's bloodstream through the angioplasty, but the guide wire was left behind when the catheter was removed.
How do you miss that?
Doctors removed the majority of the wire from Ortiz's body last year during a heart procedure, but 20-inch section still remains in his thigh, so they are suing.
A 4-year-old boy craving candy was somehow able to hop into his great-grandfather's vehicle and make a mile-and-a-half trek to a convenience store. 4 years old.
It's an enterprising little kid.
Wednesday, police and family recounted how the young boy was able to make the trip during rush hour. The boy, named Sebastian, seemed to know everything about his great-grandfather's Hyundai Santa Fe. Tuesday morning,
standard.
I
can drive it.
At about 8:30, Sebastian put a real scare into his family when he took off in the SUV. Sebastian demonstrated how he pulled it off, using great-grandpa Roy's walker to grab the keys from the wall hooks.
Wow.
And then no one was watching. He bounded into the driver's seat and took off. His great-grandfather said he watches everything people do, and he'll repeat it. From great-grandpa's house, Sebastian stretched his tiny body, his eyes barely able to see above the steering wheel, and took off. He backed out of the driveway. This kid backed out of the driveway.
So you have the makings of another Catch Me If You Can here.
Headed through some winding neighborhood streets before turning left onto incredibly busy four-lane University Avenue at the heart of the morning rush. From there, witnesses reported that he drove erratically along University Avenue at speeds of 10 to 15 miles per hour before getting the Santa Fe safely into the gas station parking lot. Where police quickly met up with him.
A 4-year-old.
The police captain said, "I've never seen a driver this young before operating a vehicle." And while Sebastian navigated his candy store run, there were some bumps in the road, including mailboxes. He also dinged a tree. In fact, they found that a portion of the vehicle's bumper at a neighbor's house. Thankfully, no one was seriously injured in Sebastian's remarkable ride. But there are some serious lessons for him and his family, including plans to lock up the keys going forward and to keep a closer eye on the young man.
Listen, if you found out years ago that like a 4-year-old could drive to the convenience store and you were feeling like lazy one day.
Yeah. I'll buy a few flies.
Yeah. Go make a run.
A chase suspect is in custody after attempting to flee from authorities while trapped in a mobile home park Wednesday night. And it's funny what ended up happening. Few residents appeared to be outside their homes as the suspect drove at speeds above 30 miles an hour in the narrow, dark roadways. Now, the chase reportedly started shortly after 9 p.m. after a report of a stolen SUV. Spike strips were deployed more than once inside the mobile complex, and they did not appear to impact the SUV for about an hour. So this guy was driving 30 miles an hour through a mobile home park for an hour nonstop.
Really?
Yeah, around and around and around.
After a while, doesn't it get boring?
The suspect continued going in circles. Authorities blocked all exits and entrances to the mobile home park.
Why didn't you just stop?
The suspect kept driving around patrol vehicles that were attempting to trap the car. After several spike strip deployments, the SUV finally gave in when one of its tires rolled off of it and into the front yard of a mobile home.
Ah, hell.
The suspect quickly put his hands up outside of the SUV, surrendered to police, and was taken into custody without incident. I love this story. Steve got me this one this morning. A Mariah Carey fan who requested a birthday cake emblazoned with Pop Princess with her face. She wanted Mariah Carey's face on it. Instead was presented one featuring Mary Curie.
No.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Madame Curie is on the pig on her cake.
The blunder confused the All I Want for Christmas Is You hit maker with the Nobel Prize winning Polish physicist.
I mean, it's why did no one at the cake place say, really?
Although the singer.
Spell that for me?
Yeah.
Recorded a number one album called E equals MC squared. She and the science pioneer are practically polar opposites. Yet the similarity of their names caused enough confusion to see the baffled birthday girl tuck into the face of an elderly and solemn-looking Curie rather than her Grammy-winning idol.
Man, Mariah Carey looks terrible.
The mix-up went viral on social media when recipient of the cousin tweeted a picture of the cake. Harriet Alida Lai wrote, "My cousin in England told her colleagues she wanted a Mariah Carey birthday cake. They misunderstood, and this is the cake they made for her instead. It's Marie Curie looking very festive."
I wonder where they even got, you know, because the picture looks like it was just made for a cake. I mean, you know, because they find like a suitable picture, and then they poured it right onto the the fondant. But I mean, it's like the most cake appropriate Madame Curie picture I've ever seen.
Social media reacted spectacularly, and the post has been retweeted 40,000 times.
So it's more famous than it would have been the other way.
Some users suggested the cake had actually been improved with the picture of such an influential and accomplished scientist. So she ended up with that. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for now. Let's give away a pair of the passes to the Mutiny on the Mushilumiu 2, which is on Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. on the deck at the Mushilu at Penn's Landing. And like you said, Steve, weather is not an issue because they can cover it up completely.
Yeah.
And you'll be good to go. So what number call you want to take? It's your event.
Five.
All right, call number 5-215-263-WMMR. Lots of food, lots of events, lots of performers. It's going to be a great time for all. So we'll get you a pair of tickets to get on board.
Yes,
215-263-WMMR. Call right now. All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, we will have a former Flyer and current head coach of the St. Louis Blues. They won the Stanley Cup, Craig Berube. We spoke to him right before the finals started, and we'll talk to him now that they've won. And also, Chris Therrien is going to be in our studio as well. We'll be back in just a moment.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So I spent the weekend in St. Louis. I grew up a St. Louis Blues fan. Listen, I love our Flyers. I do. And I've even worked for the organization with the Phantoms. And you know, we're friends with players on the team. But listen, I had been cheering for the Blues since I was 5 years old. My earliest memories were, you know, of a player named Gary Unger, who was my favorite when I was a little kid. And so I had to go for this very first Stanley Cup victory in franchise history. So got a last-minute ticket, went to St. Louis, met up with my best friend and his family, and we went to the parade.
How could you not?
I had to go.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. It was such a great time. And there is a Philadelphia connection to this victory, and you guys all know about it, you know, with Jack's MYB, and I met up with those guys while I was there, too, and I felt the Philly presence all around St. Louis, too, especially with the Chief on stage holding the cup up in the air, former Flyer, head coach of the St. Louis Blues, Craig Berube.
Yeah.
This morning. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're doing wonderful. Listen, we spoke to you after you guys made it in the final round of the playoffs into the Stanley Cup Championship. We had a chance to talk for a few minutes, and that was really cool. And I didn't know if we'd be talking championship afterwards, and sure enough, it happened. So I just told the short story, but I was there, man. I came out for the parade. It was so much fun, and it was great to see you beaming the way that you were on stage, holding the cup on the parade route, and it had to, was it everything you dreamed it would be?
Oh, yeah, and more for sure, you know. It's a great feeling for sure. Like, you're just so happy for the city and our players, and, you know, that's, as a coach, that's what I feel anyhow. But, I mean, I'm obviously happy that I was part of it. But to see all those fans and what a turnout. And just to see our players, how excited and happy they are, and what they went through to win, like, it's tough. It's not an easy thing to do. And,
no.
You know, I've been to the finals, and I know what it's kind of like as a player, but it's crazy how hard it is.
You know what? And what's funny, my perspective, Craig, was that they – you know, I go in and I see the Flyers play in it, and I watch the games, and these guys on the ice, they look like men to me. They look like really big, very talented men. But for this day, they were kids, man.
Yeah.
They seem like just fellas, dudes, I think would be the right word. Was it?
Yeah, they definitely, you know, once it's all over and you win, you know, you let loose and you're just having fun now, you know.
And they seem so young, you know.
Well, they are young, most of them. I mean, there's only, you know, we got maybe, I don't know, I think two, maybe three guys in their 30s, maybe three.
Yeah.
But, you know, most of the guys are pretty young, you know. They're anywhere from 22 to 26 is probably our average age on our team.
We're looking at a picture here, and they obviously built this incredible arch for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just impressive.
Yeah, I took a picture from the we got a hotel room right by the the staging grounds on the grounds of the arch, and I took a picture of the crowd down there, and it was just impressive to see all those people out there the way they were, you know?
Oh, it was for sure. I was kind of blown away, honestly, just going through the whole parade and the people and how crazy it is and cheering and how many people. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I don't know if you had even had time to think about your legacy in the city of St. Louis. Being a Philadelphian, we wanted a Super Bowl here for the longest time, and it didn't happen. And then, the Eagles hired Doug Peterson, and a lot of people scratched their heads. And then, lo and behold, Doug Peterson brings the city the first Super Bowl. And so nobody in the history of the rest of the world will ever be able to do what you did, which is bring the first Stanley Cup to St. Louis. Has that sunk in for you yet?
I don't know. I honestly don't think about it like that. But, I mean, I know I'm part of, the first Stanley Cup in St. Louis, which is a great feeling for sure. And, anytime you're part of something first, it's going to go down in history, so I look at it, I'm part of the team, I'm the head coach, but I just view it as part of the club and, just like everybody else. So, I mean, it's a great feeling, no doubt, guys, but, I'm just enjoying it right now.
Cool.
When are they going to scrub interim head coach and make it official head coach of the St. Louis Blues? Because I think you earned it.
I just want to be interim.
less pressure. Remember the important, when you renegotiate, remember all this, that'll be the deal. But I mean, it is something, obviously, Casey brought up the Eagles and how fantastic that was. Speak comfort to us in Philadelphia. And, I mean, it also provides, us with, listen, we have a great team here and there's every possibility. But from your point of view, what can you impart to us about, how you never count a team out?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty impressed by our team to go through January, February, and March. And first of all, just those months in general are the hardest months in the NHL, in my opinion, because you have so many teams fighting to get into the playoffs. It's the hardest hockey that goes on throughout the season. And we're on the road for 2.5 months. And it was incredible to watch our team win hockey games night after night. It was incredible. And for me, it all boils down to character and leadership is the biggest key. And I believe that in all sports. But you got to have good character and got to have good leadership. And it may take some time for that to come out and be put in the right place on the ice. And that's part of coaching, is to get that out of your players and to get them to lead in the right way and, the character and all that. And so everybody's part of it and they all have a piece of it, but that was a grind that we had to go through and to get ourselves. We ended up with 99 points. Pretty good season.
Yeah.
Where we were. That's a lot of winning in a few months, short months,
Yeah.
So it's impressive as I've ever seen in hockey from me personally. That 3 months we went through. And then in the playoffs, I think what really helped us throughout the playoffs is after a loss, we were so tough mentally, and we preached mental toughness most of the time since I took over. That was one of the biggest things about being mentally tough. Our mental toughness was at an all-time high, and we just let things go and moved on, and our goalie was a real example of that for sure.
Yeah.
But that's a big thing. And we did that throughout the playoffs because you have to if you want to be successful, in my opinion.
Now, you mentioned character, but how much of it also is a cheesy 1980s pop song?
Well, you got to have something like that to go along with the story, right?
Yeah. Well, and listen, it was this bizarre Philadelphia connection. That's why part of the reason why I felt
I had this wild connection being here in Philadelphia, but I grew up, I'm originally from St. Louis. I grew up there, and this strange connection between the two cities was, it was present everywhere while I was in this week, and I heard people talking about it. Freaking Anheuser-Busch put it on their Bud Light cans.
I saw that, yeah.
It said Gloria, Gloria. It got that big, and that all started here at Jackson, South Philadelphia, and it was just this wild little tendril between these two cities that's kind of joined them together, and believe it or not, Craig, a lot of people were talking about a movie, wanting a movie being made about the team, and that would be a big part of it too, the song and the connection to Philadelphia and all these things. I'm like, the more I thought about it, I'm like, yeah, you went from last to winning the championship, you had this weird little song tied into it. First time in over 50 years. I'm like, that does kind of have the makings for a good movie.
I could see Steve Carell playing Craig Berube.
Steve Carell?
I'm already like casting this movie. This
and I'll play Laura Branigan.
Okay. She's dead. Yeah. No, but that song was a big part of this. And you're right. There always needs to be something, some added little thing that threads through it all. But are you kind of sick of hearing the song by now?
Well, to be honest with you, I would never listen to the song, ever. But, you know, I kind of started to like it.
Yeah, I think there's every reason to like it now, yeah.
Craig, as a petty Philadelphia fan, not only was I rooting for the Blues, but I was certainly rooting against Boston. And I wanted to point out something on air because it was interesting / funny to me to watch Brad Marchand leave the ice with 7 seconds left in the first period and have you guys score that second goal. Did you notice that when that happened, when Marchand was not out there and essentially turned into a brief power play for you guys and you were able to score that very important second goal?
Well, I knew he was out there when we came up with the puck and we were attacking. He was playing defense because he was backing up a defenseman. But that change happened over on the right. I couldn't really see that. He went off the ice. I didn't see that till after when I watched the game and stuff after. So I didn't see that till after. It was kind of a weird play by him for sure. And then obviously Pietrangelo comes in there. He's got a free lane right to the net. And that's a real big goal with 7 seconds to go in the period in the Stanley Cup final game. Huge. I mean, oof, huge goal. Great play by Pietrangelo. And in my opinion, I thought he was the best player on the ice on both teams. I know Bennington had a great first period for us. But I really thought that our captain was our best player on the ice.
Wow. I got to say, when it comes to the sport of hockey, the players play balls to the wall all the time. And what was impressive to me was that, you know, as the seconds were closing out and the championship was, you know, all but imminent, everybody on that ice was playing. You know, the Boston Bruins were playing as if they can make a comeback, even though they're down 3 goals and there's 30 seconds left. And you're like, dude, it's almost virtually impossible. But they never let up until, you know, the very, very last seconds. And you don't see that a lot in other sports. Like, it just doesn't happen in football, you know, baseball, basketball. Like, when there's a commanding lead as you know, the game's winding down, they just don't, you know, seem to play as hard. In hockey, they do.
Yeah, first of all, I mean, there's been goals scored in the Stanley Cup Finals. I know Chicago did it against Boston. They had scored 2 goals in 17 seconds. So things do happen quickly in this game. So, I, you know, it's part of the coach's job, and, you know, the players know you play till the end. That's what they're taught, and that's what we teach. And play hard till the end. And our, you know, I'm glad our guys did, because you got a 4-1 lead. I don't know, like, there was like 2 minutes and something left in the game. I mean, you know, it's just a lot of time still that anything can happen. So don't take a chance.
Hey, Craig, what do you feel about this video of you giving the team a speech in the locker room right before they head out is making its round on social media? I just want to point out, though, before you comment on that, 4 F-bombs, 4 goals. I think there's a connection there. What do you think about that? I mean, you were being very frank. You were speaking the way you speak in a locker room. How do you think about that? What do you think about this video making the rounds?
Well, I mean, I personally, it's hard. I don't like stuff getting out like that. And, you know, what we do in a locker room, for me personally, it's, you know, I like it to stay in there. But, you know, it's part of the game, and you know, the NHL, they want to promote things. So I mean, I'm a direct guy, you know. I don't think my players know that, and they know how I'm gonna talk and what we need to do. And you know, I wanted to get them pumped up, ready for the game, and go out hard right away because it's, you know, we're in a Stanley Cup final game. You know, give it everything you got and go play.
Hey, Herb Brooks was dropping F-bombs right before the U.S. won in 1980, so I think it's
that's right.
I think you're in good company, yeah. You know?
Well, it's not like everybody hasn't heard it before.
Yeah, right. Potty mouth means victory.
Yeah, and Herb Brooks' players hated him, and your players love you, so whatever you're doing right. We had Bernie Ferrant on the show last week, and he said that he expected Bennington to have a great game on the road. And Bernie was right, and you know, he was talking about Bernie knows goalies. Is there any rhyme or reason as to why Bennington and your entire team, in fact, Craig, played better on the road in the postseason than they did at home?
Yeah, it's a hard one to figure out. You know, all I can really say is, like, I do believe when we're on the road, there's always less distractions for me. But I think just our game and the way we play, we're a way more simpler team on the road. We play a defense first mentality on the road, which is obviously going to help our goalie. You know, I think at home we try to tend to open things up more and play more of a skill game, and that's not our team. You know, we're a tough team. We grind it out. We play, you know, a hard forecheck and physical style of hockey. And just looking at all the stats and everything throughout the playoffs that I went over, we're just way more physical and hard to play against on the road for some reason. At home, we tend to try to score. It's kind of a weird thing to say, but we try to almost score too much at home, and it goes against us.
Wow, okay.
We just want you, before we let you go, to reveal any other secrets that you may have for our Flyers who face you next year, if you'd be willing to do that.
The Flyers are going in, they're going to be fine. They're going in the right direction.
Okay.
They are, seriously. They got a lot of good young players, a young goaltender that's going to be a good goalie. You know, Giroux and Voracek and these guys are still good players.
They're great.
Still produce.
Yeah.
You know, it just takes time sometimes, and it just has to come together at the right time, and then anything can happen, you know. So there's a lot of positive to look forward to, and I'm always rooting for, you know, deep down, the Flyers. You know, I love the Flyers,
yeah,
too, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously I got a new home now, but that, you know, I still come here in the off season. And, again, I look back at my whole career and, guys like Paul Holmgren and Bob Clark, who, you know, did everything for me in my career, from not only a plan, but coaching. And, I always still have that in my heart and respect those guys and love those guys.
Give our best to Braden Schenn as well. I was happy to see him score a goal in game 7.
Yeah.
You got it.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it. Craig Berube.
Yeah!
Congratulations, and thanks for being on this morning. So, yeah, they did it, man.
Because a win for them is a loss.
No. Well, it's a loss. Yeah, it's a loss for Boston. Thank you. I think they're going to say a win for them is a win for us. I guess it would be.
Yes.
Got it. Yeah.
And it is.
Nobody wanted to see Boston. Nobody around here wanted to see Boston.
No. No. Enough.
It was absolutely enough. I got to throw some love out to Mike Montclavo and Petey and the guys at Jack's NYB, because I met up with them while I was in St. Louis and knew that they were going to be there. The word was they were going to have a float in the parade. Unfortunately, it fell through. I thought it would have been perfect. And I think the crowd would have absolutely loved it, because I'm telling you, man, it was the story everywhere around there. If I mention I was from Philadelphia, people say, oh yeah, you know about this place. And I would either take the time to say, yeah, well, I do a radio show, we had them on, we know who these guys are, but, you know, I just wanted to hear the story from them. I was at the airport getting ready to fly out, and there was nobody else in the restaurant, me and one other table, and that's all these guys were talking about. He's like, yeah, I ran into these guys earlier at the airport this morning. You know the story about this Jack's NYB?
It's very cool.
And they started explaining what mummers were and everything. I was just being a fly on the wall listening to it.
So you've been to 2 championship parades in less than 2 years. Can you compare the two? I mean, they're very different times of year and different sports, et cetera. But the Eagles parade was massive, and we got to broadcast from it. This was your childhood and your growing up years, and meant something different to you.
Difference is the weather's much better in the summertime.
To be
outside all day, but it was freaking cold at the Eagles parade. But I would say, you know, both had the excitement of first time. So that was the thing they had in common, both of these parades, that everybody couldn't believe this was actually happening. So that was really, really cool. The size, this is a much bigger city than St. Louis, so it was more massive on Philadelphia's
in the scale of in Philadelphia. Although I have to say the view of the arch was a little more impressive.
That's cool.
We're just seeing that that many people in that ground. But the production of the parade route itself, of the way the players were and you know, the team represented, the Eagles did a much better job.
It's also a bigger team, too. You got to keep that in mind. There's, you know, 50-some
more players, more staff, everything.
Well, one thing that any city that wins a championship needs to take note, and I don't know if the Eagles were the first to do this or not, but when we were set up and broadcasting live along the parkway and we saw all those video screens, and then about 3 hours before the parade started, they started showing the game.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Should be done anywhere.
Absolutely brilliant. And I'm surprised that they didn't do that in St. Louis. They didn't have video screens and start playing the game, because that gives people something to do and get just as excited a second time around again for. Because you remember
when they scored,
the crowd was going crazy. Yes. And it was so cool.
They did have a guy with a megaphone describing the game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but is this just crowd noise?
It is crowd noise. Right.
That took a lot for them to get that here in Philly, and it also had a lot to do with not playing the sound and it being completely rebroadcast in its entirety. So there were some things. So maybe for some reason they couldn't get it done.
Yeah, I don't know. Plus, it rained heavily earlier in the day, too, in St.
That
Louis. That could have been an issue as well. But I would say the production of the Eagles parade was much better, because they had those big confetti cannons that were, you know, came out in front of the buses. And
you
stuff
gotta have
shooting
that
all over
confetti,
the place.
Confetti means everything.
And they were cranking up music through the sound system as they were coming through. Now, this was a lot of fun and really, really cool. But now, once they got to the actual stage on the grounds of the arch, that production was a little bit more slick than what they had at the art museum, I thought. So it was a little trade-off of each.
Sure, sure. So can you just talk about, like, just your experience getting there? You know, just the idea, like, the thought came into your mind. I don't even know if the thought of going to the parade was your original thought, or if somebody in this room planted that seed.
I said it out loud. I'm like, man, I wonder if I could get to the parade. I kind of said it like that. And Steve,
and then you let it go.
And then Steve just goes, you should. And I go, really?
And
then
I wasn't really serious about that.
Yeah, you just go, and then you know, and then try to make it back to the blood art. I was joking, but I mean, obviously, it's you make these decisions, and how many times in life do you, you know, you cannot, if you miss the first time ever, you can't ever reclaim that.
Right.
So this was the first time ever. We had it covered because Pierre was going to be there, and we had all the, you know, the whole deal. And look, you know, it was a historical blood drive. So there we go.
But I will tell you, this will be the only time I ever do something like that. I mean, if for some reason it were to happen again next year, I'm not going to go. There's no way I'd go. But it was the first time in the franchise history, and I've been, you know,
the organization.
In the organization, thank you. Since I was a little kid, I've been a fan, so it made sense to go.
But next year you'll be at the Flyers.
But you almost missed the flight.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It'd be really awesome.
Yeah,
be awesome. Almost missed the flight. Dude.
Oh, really?
So I didn't know. I didn't know that on Friday, traffic on the Blue Route starts around noon.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, people like to take early.
Noon?
Yeah, beach traffic.
Two? Noon?
Yeah,
I figured maybe 2-3 o'clock. Okay. Something like that. But it was noon. And I mean,
and you almost missed the flight.
I mean, from Westchester Pike to 95.
Oh, no.
Dead traffic. So fortunately, I had Waze. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, I look at Waze and it's like, I'm getting off at Westchester Pike. What? And then it took me through neighborhoods.
Uh-huh.
Casey, I ended up.
Hi, Preston.
Going through all kinds of areas I've never been to before. I ended up down on McDade Boulevard, and then I could get on 95 from there.
Did you end up going past my high school at all? Did you go past O'Hara?
I went by O'Hara, so I ended up on Sproul Road.
You'll be going past Casey's high school.
Well, I wasn't sure if you happened to see the deer that was impaled on the fence.
Was there one?
Yeah.
Another one?
It happens.
Are they committing suicide?
They try and jump the fence into
it. It happens all the time.
Either into or out of the graveyard, the cemetery. Yeah. And by later on, they put a tarp over it. They're like, this thing is a little too heavy for me, so I'm just going to throw a tarp over it.
Honestly, though, if you've ever had deer on a stick, it's great. It's really good.
But so
venison
getting there,
on a stick.
I was the last one to board the plane.
Okay.
I was the last one to get on a plane.
Oh,
I was,
and I
meant to write on Twitter, you know, Pierre would have been proud.
that's not you at all.
That's not me at all. And, no, but I made it just barely in time.
Okay.
And that was all good. But I tell you what, when we got, I got there in the evening, my buddy Steve picks me up. We go back to their house. Everybody gets their stuff ready because we had a hotel in the city. Went to the hotel. We show up at the hotel at 9 o'clock. There was a two-hour line just to check in.
Check into the hotel?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Were they serving drinks?
No, but we brought them with us.
Yeah.
So we stood in line, and there was an Emo's Pizza within walking distance. So I walked off and got a pizza and brought it back, and we ended up having that. But, yeah, it was pandemonium. And St. Louis is not a pedestrian city like Philadelphia, where there's always people walking around.
It's more business district,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. There's not as much living space around there. And so for this to be going on was a total anomaly.
That's why
they
did it. I think we were surprised they did it on Saturday.
I mean,
because usually you do it during the week. You want to get that yield of everyone who's downtown.
Right.
But I guess they wanted to make, because it was so historical, they wanted people to have the shot of getting in from out. People who otherwise would have been at work and not able to go at all.
Right.
So you met your best friend, Steve, who is a massive, massive hockey and blues fan.
Yep.
But did you run into anybody that, like, just by chance, like, you know, old
only
high
John
buddies?
Cougar Mellencamp.
No way.
No, John Cougar.
Hey, man. No. What are you doing here? I'm on the radio. I'm a rock star. I know.
No, it was pretty funny, though, because in the hotel where we were staying, we watched the parade go by, and then we had a view of the grounds where the ceremony was taking place. So we were just going to go up on the roof. They had a pool up there and everything. We were going to go watch it from there.
Madam Curie?
And so I get off of the elevator and walking to get on the elevator. This girl goes, "Are you Preston?" And I was, when I hear that, I'm used to a listener saying something like that.
Right.
And so I go, yeah, I'm Preston. How you doing? She goes, "It's Maggie." So there was this girl, Maggie Karhoff, I went to high school
with.
Oh,
no kidding.
I'm your daughter.
I'm your daughter. No,
you son of a bitch.
So it was really cool to see her, and I'm like, "Hey, this is Steve Lisick right behind you." And she turned around, so we all kind of hugged and had a moment. And I'm like, we're headed up to the roof. She's like, "I'm going up too, so I'll see you up there in a little while." So she came up, and we ended up hanging out.
That's why it's always problematic if someone around, even just around here, because we for radio, we get recognized a fair amount.
Yeah.
But I thought you were my uncle.
Right.
You know, it's like you can't just assume, because radio is the, obviously TV is much, as you would imagine, more visual.
Yeah. But tracking down Mike and the guys from Jax was kind of fun.
Was it like,
because he had,
Pokemon Go?
Well, I texted, and by the way, these are the guys from Jax NYB, the whole Gloria thing and the tie-in with the team. I texted him when I got into St. Louis. I'm like, "Hey, dude, you know, I'm here." Because he had texted me before I took off and was like, "Hey, we're meeting at like 1:30 at this bar. You want to come by?" I'm like, "I'm not even getting there till like 8 o'clock tonight." So I got there and I texted him. He's like, "Hey, we're going to this place and the team's going to be there. They have a VIP room or something." And I told my buddy Steve, and he's like, "It's a total 20s bar. It's like a meat market." And I'm like, "I don't know if we want to go there or not." And I got a text back from Mike, and he's like, "Hey, there's like 500 people in line. Just tell them you're with Jax, and they'll let you in." I'm like, "Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to do that." So the next late that night, I get a text from him. It's a picture of him drinking out of the Stanley Cup.
You're like, "Son of a bitch!"
No, I didn't. You know what? I didn't care, because I know what a mess it would have been. It would have been me trying to go, "Hey, look at me. Let me in, please." And I don't like doing that.
Who are you?
I was really stoked for those guys. I was really excited because it had come full circle for them that they had been a part of this thing from the beginning, and it blew up into this big sensation in that town. And next thing you know, they're hanging with the team and they're drinking out of the Stanley Cup. That's pretty damn cool.
Is the lesson, seize the moment?
Seize the moment.
Seize the moment.
Most definitely.
Carpe City.
And then so I called him the next morning as we were trying to work our way up through the parade route before it started, and he answered the phone, and his voice was like,
"It's like Stallone."
I'm like, "We had a night last night, right?" But I eventually tracked him down. They had met some people from the city that had a truck
flatbed truck set up on the parade route so they'd be raised up. And I went over and said hi to them and hung out for them. They let me climb up on the truck for a couple minutes. I took a cool picture. And then
Now get off.
Then we got out of there. But they were, you know, they couldn't believe it was all going on. But they're like royalty there now. So
they got to hang with John Hamm.
Yeah. Oh, did they hang with John Hamm?
Yeah, in one of the a series of the photos that they posted on Instagram, which is the Jacks.
You could have hung with John Hamm.
The Jacks NYB. From Mad Men. There's a picture of them with John Hamm. They're drinking out of the cup, and they're hanging with him.
I would have been more excited to hang out with John Hamm.
Yeah, me too.
And to drink from the Stanley Cup.
Or to drink from John Hamm.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. But, yeah, no, I'm happy for those guys, and I'm glad it turned into that big sensation. So, and they also said our sister station was beating up on them pretty good.
Oh, really?
On the air last week, over at the Fanatic.
Yeah, well, I think their issue is people... acting as if this was like the Flyers winning the Stanley Cup or whatever.
Okay, well, whatever. Those guys were telling me, dude, their assessment of it all was like, we're just having fun.
Yep.
And that's all there was to
it. Life is for the taking.
I'm like, exactly. You know what, folks? You don't have to take this stuff quite so seriously. They're just having fun.
Yep.
They're having a good time. Let them have a good time. The Flyers aren't in the race anymore. Have some fun with the rest. Enjoy some hockey. Hockey's a great sport.
Yeah, put things in context. Now, we do understand occasionally people will kill people for fast food, and that we understand.
Totally.
It ends up in the bizarre file. But honestly, understand what's really important.
They got to squeak a lot more out of this season, you know what I mean? And really and have just the party of their lives. So it was pretty awesome. So
cool.
I'm happy for them.
Look at that. A record blood drive, and you got to do something you thought you'd never get to do.
Yeah, for those who missed out on the news, we, the Preston and Steve Show, and you, which we couldn't have done it without you and all the people that support it, managed to have the biggest blood drive in the United States. 1,416 pints of blood were taken at the I Believe for Preston and Steve blood drive on Saturday. Amazing. Went way beyond what I thought we'd ever get, Steve. We just kind of... We floated the word out there, we want the record. And we never do that. We never, ever, ever do that.
Because it's all good. And we don't even set a goal for the camp out.
Yeah.
But if this everything bears out, and it seems to be bearing out, in 1 year, we had the largest single-sponsored food drive in the country, the Camp Out for Hunger, and the largest single-day blood drive in the country.
Can I recap just my week alone real quick? And that's part of it.
Sure. All right.
Say, my son graduated from high school on Monday.
Right.
We accepted a national award from the National Association of Broadcasters on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday was my 20th anniversary for my wife and I, Steve's 60th birthday. The Blues won the Stanley Cup. So this is for me personally, you know, in my life. The Blues win the Stanley Cup. I fly out for something I never do, a whirlwind weekend to watch the championship parade. And then we have the largest blood drive in the country on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I know I'm missing
something. Father's Day!
And it was Father's Day.
Oh, yeah, the kids.
Yeah. So that's been the week alone.
It's a pretty great week.
I can't believe I survived.
You can
honest.
Retire now.
I went to bed at 7:45 last night.
No, man.
You
missed the U.S. Open.
I know.
Don't worry, dude. All the top three guys were trying to lose for the last nine holes. It was terrible.
Well, ugh. But anyhow, it's a wonder I'm alive. So back to do the radio show and feeling good about it. And we got to take a break, but not before, Steve. I want to give away some tickets to your event.
It's the Mutiny on the Moose show this
Thursday.
Six to nine, Preston, benefiting Max Fund. And there's a whole bunch of stuff. We have for the price of the ticket, which we hope you purchase, and we're going to give away some. I know Yards Brewery, Chatsford Winery, Stateside Vodka, Revivalist Gin, plus all of the desserts from the Mixie Chicks, Zaz Ice Cream, Nothing Bun Cakes, Tuck-ins, Tasty Bites from the Moshaloo, Entertainers, and all that stuff. We want you to come down, but you have a chance to win, right?
Yeah, caller number 12, let's do that, 215-263-WMMR, and we'll give you a pair of tickets. And by the way, I have some stuff that I have to say here that I gladly want to, but Zaz Ice Cream.
Love them.
Produced seriously from scratch ice cream sorbet, and individually messy ice cream sandwich creations with an emphasis on locally sourced ingredients, house-made inclusions, and baked goods, and ingredients produced by small companies with similar values. You can visit online at Zaz Ice Cream, that's spelled Zaz Ice Cream.com,
or at their new location, 6616 Germantown Avenue in Mount Airy. So caller number 12, we will give you a pair of tickets to go to the event on Thursday. It's one hell of a party. 215-263-WMMR. That is the number. We're going to take a break. When we get back, Chris Therrien is in our studio. Wow. And there's an event coming up on Wednesday that he would like to promote. So we will gladly do that. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, the Greg Sover Band. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. You get more beautiful every time. You make me say yeah. See and hear more at WMMR.com. Keyword local shots. The Greg Sover Band, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Mutiny at the Mooshaloo it's Mewtwo coming up on Thursday. And we have lots of friends here providing some goodies to eat, including Mixie Chicks macaroons and French macaroons or macaron.
Macaron.
Huh? Macaron.
Yeah, I had to learn how to say it myself. Okay. All I know is that they taste freaking great.
With an American flair, and each of their macarons are made by hand with fillings mastered after hours of experimenting and perfecting their recipes. Simply the best macarons you're ever going to taste. You can visit them at mixychicks.com. They will be at the event, of course, along with many other people. And I can give away some passes to that event. So we'll take callers number 11 and 12 at 215-263-WMMR, and we'll give you pairs of tickets to go. So it's on Thursday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Another cool event coming up that we're going to tell you about in just a moment. That is on Wednesday. But first, let's get a look at traffic. Kathy, what's going on this morning?
A few things happening in New Jersey in Hamilton Township, 195 westbound at Arena Drive. We've got the right lane blocked. It's because of a downed tree, and it is backed up from the New Jersey Turnpike to Broad Street. 42 north jams at 41. There's an accident in the left lane. 55 northbound heavy from Deptford to the 42 freeway. And then on the White Horse Pike westbound at Cross Keys Road. That is closed right now because of an accident with a down signal. 95 southbound jams from the Betsy Ross Bridge through to Girard. The Blue Route to Highland Avenue. On the Schuylkill eastbound, we're backing up 202 into Belmont. The Boulevard to Girard westbound. University to South. The Boulevard out to Belmont. Blue Route to 202. 422 eastbound slows Oaks to 23. On the Pennsylvania Turnpike westbound, we're heavy from Willow Grove to the Mid-County Tolls. And then the Blue Route northbound jams 95 to Route 1, southbound from Media to Route 1. This traffic report brought to you by Acme. Summer is better at Acme. Whether you're firing up a grill or grabbing a snack for the game, Acme has everything you need. Acme, your favorite local supermarket. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thank you, Kathy. We have two guests in our studio. They are here to promote an event which is coming up in Atlantic City on, is it Thursday? I had Thursday written here, but I heard it was Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Is it Wednesday? It is Wednesday.
It's okay, Wednesday.
So I want to make sure that's correct. Street Life Concert is taking place, and this is going to help raise money to help provide a supportive and safe environment for people recovering from substance use disorders. And so first, we want to welcome a friend of ours. You know him from NBC Sports Philadelphia, doing the pre- and post-game at Flyers Hockey. Chris Therrien is here.
Good great to, see you, to be here, guys.
Thanks for being here, man. Always great to see you.
Celebrating a cup this weekend, but the wrong cup, the wrong city.
I know, wrong city.
But a connection. We'll take it.
Yep. We'll take it. Absolutely.
Yeah, we want the main one, though.
And also we have here with the nuts and bolts of the information, because it's the Henson Foundation is part of this whole thing. And in fact, it is the whole thing. We have Jen Henson, who is here this morning as well. Hey, Jen, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing wonderful. Nice to see you. So all right. So first of all, the event's on Wednesday. I want to get that right.
Wednesday.
And before we talk to Chris about, you know, all things that are going on with this and some hockey as well. Tell us a little bit about the Henson Foundation, please.
The Henson Foundation really was started to help people in recovery. I myself am a recovering addict, 23 years sober. And, you know, we raise a lot of money. We have sober living houses. We have an organic farm, the Enlightened Cafe down in Ventnor, New Jersey. And we raise a lot of money to help put people into treatment and sober living.
Can't have too much of this going on, because obviously when the word epidemic is used, and it's appropriate, there's a lot of people in need. But there's a lot of hope and a lot of people who can turn their lives around. We see it time and time again. Here you are, decades,
yeah,
you know, after the fact. It can be done with the right group of caring people. And so anything like this we support. We think it's great.
Yeah. And so the it's a music event. So you're going to have members of, I think, the Grateful Dead and Jefferson Starship and all that type of thing going on.
Yeah. So this year we're our theme is celebrating the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. So we wanted to get some original performers that performed at Woodstock.
Nice.
So
right now, this might be the most successful tribute to the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
Right now.
The other
one, because the actual main one is sputtering out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have Slick Aguilar from Jefferson Starship playing. We have Rob Paparozzi from Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and Tom Constantin, which play with the Grateful Dead.
Cool.
And Zach Nugent from Jerry Garcia Band.
Okay.
So, yeah, we have a lot of great talent. And
I noticed you're wearing a crystal. Are you kind of a hippie chick?
Yeah. I followed the Grateful Dead around the country for a long time.
Nice. All right. Well, this is perfect then. Chris, what's your connection to all this?
Well, you know what? Like Jen, I'm somebody who's been in recovery. It's not something that I've made public. I guess I have now. But you know what? I was somebody with the stigma of hockey, and I see a lot of it. But I was someone who have been sober many, many years. Drinking was something that went with the stigma with hockey, went along with it. I was raised, don't do drugs. Drinking's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And that's where I was. And now being a father to a 20-year-old and three other teens almost, you know, I realized that to stand idly by for myself would be a disservice because, as you said, I mean, this is an epidemic.
Yeah.
And people's lives are changing. Families' lives are changing because kids now, unfortunately, kids or people in general now involved with these drugs. The drugs are a major problem. And people's lives are changing because of them. So to get for me to say that, you know, alcohol is still prevalent. It's on every single corner we pass. It's still a major problem. So when I talked to Jen, I'd been looking for a couple of years to try to find a way to find a rehab to endorse, to work with in a partnership. And really, if someone needs a great place to go, Enlightened Solutions is an unbelievably beautiful campus down by the shore, and it's a place that I felt, having looked at other ones, it would be a spot that if I need a treatment, I'd want to be there because it's full of love and it's a safe haven for people.
So people who have a substance abuse issue and they decide to do something about it and get sober and get cleaned up, that's a personal decision. It's nothing that is anybody else's business. You've kept quiet about it for a while. Mm-hmm. Why is now the time to go ahead and speak up about it?
Just because I know the impact I've made on my family. I've had kids flourish through their teens where I knew that if I continue, you know, I didn't come, you know, I was a hockey player. I've been in the area now 25 years, and it's been the greatest experience of my life. But when I was able to see my kids become the people that I'd want them to be as a father and see their mother being able to watch those kids grow and flourish without having somebody in the house dependent on a substance, I think really transformed my thinking in saying that now. And then when, you know, when I look at, you turn on a radio or TV and you hear about the multi-drug deaths in Burlington County or another county over the last month, it's mind-boggling, and it doesn't have to happen, and it frustrates me. So for me to come out, share my story, share a little bit about what that was, is ultimately the point that I want to drive home with people and get them to the treatment that they need. It's a difficult, difficult thing for family members to be able to look their loved one in the eye and say, hey, you need to get help, and you got to do it now.
You know, some people, I think we hear a lot of people need to hit rock bottom before they make that decision. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that maybe you can take a look at yourself and before I get to rock bottom, I should make a decision. Now, did you have a bottom moment or did it just kind of go, you know what, I think I really need to turn things around?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
But, you know, I think anybody that I think has had a dependency on alcohol or even a drug, I think you probably have multiple rock bottoms.
Yeah.
And when you look back, you're not really sure what was the ultimate rock bottom. And I know, Case, you're thinking, you're looking at me,
well,
too.
Well, there's
like
a kind of a funny saying about rock bottom. It says, you know, it's something along the lines of, once you think you've hit rock bottom, well, here's a shovel and you can keep on digging. So,
yeah. Right.
Yeah, everyone's bottom is different.
Right. Everybody's bottom is different. And
ask any proctologist.
You can absolutely.
arrest your addiction at any stage and just, you know, hope that it doesn't go any further. Jen, I wanted to ask you about where we are as far as the opioid epidemic is concerned, because
years ago, there wasn't the awareness that we have now. And lately, there has been, like, people can't say, I didn't know. Or maybe they can, but it's not for a lack of trying. Has there been a decline or a plateau, or is it just as bad as ever?
It's just as bad as ever. I mean, we still are seeing so many people dying just within our own community. Mm-hmm. I mean, every week there's, you know, people that are trying to get clean and stay in recovery and, you know, sometimes make the choice to go back out there. And the difference is, I think, today is that the drugs are so much stronger that people are dying, like, first use.
Yeah, by far.
Just dying.
That's crazy.
You know, when I used drugs, we had real heroin, you know, and people were ODing back then, but it wasn't the fentanyl that it is today. And it's just like taking people out. It's in a lot of the different drugs now, too, not just the heroin. It's in the cocaine.
Chris, I want to ask you about the connection, and you mentioned it a couple times, but in between hockey and drinking, because, I mean, you know, Preston was just in St. Louis where they're celebrating and there's Budweiser's and people are drinking beer out of the cup, and they kind of go hand in hand. They're almost inextricable when you talk about celebrating a hockey win and drinking anything afterwards. Was it difficult for you to separate the two, to drink the drinking and the hockey?
You know, when we played, I mean, almost never, the times I played with guys, I mean, it was a drinking community. You know, you'd go out, you'd be on the road, and you'd head out for your beers with your guys. And I think what happens is you control it till it controls you. It starts to decide to control you, and you don't know why. It just takes over. But it was at the, you know, I think I might have been telling you the other day, I love what Samuel L. Jackson was on 60 Minutes last week, and someone said, you know, how was it a problem? And his best answer he gave, and it really hit home, was, well, it was at the end.
And
it's all fun and games is, you know, you go out with your buddies, and I have some great stories, but I have no regrets. I've had a great life in this area. I was lucky enough to be drafted in this city, and everything I have is because of being in this community for so long now. But yeah, I mean, I think now when you get removed away from it enough, I'm still around hockey. That the other part of it just isn't part of my daily regime anymore, and that's the separation part of it.
I mean, ultimately, there are legions of people who have no problem and can, you know, they handle what they handle, whether it be, you know, whatever. Obviously, you can get into hardcore drugs and stuff like that. That's another issue. But like my brother, who's been sober for many years now, you know, he was cursed because he could perform his job well, and it never affected his job, and he was, you know, but he hit that point where it was like, oh man, this has gotten away from me, and so the thing he wants to impart, and he's always been very open about it because he wants the word to get out. He considers that day, you know, where he completed the program, his birthday. You know, that's when his life he feels really began,
right.
And his life really did begin. You know, found a woman as a kid now, and life is just fantastic. So there is that there if you can make it there, and if you have the right people around you to help you. Mm-hmm. And don't cast off that fear of being in need and being in need of help, because so many people want to do it so much. You don't realize how many people want to help you.
Yeah, and you know, you make a great point. And like Jen's done amazing things along with her, a lot of the people that they've had to bring awareness and to get people into treatment. They have a detox here at Enlightened Solutions again, which is a part of the hard part is getting people initially off whatever they're addicted to and getting them clean and sober before they can begin their journey. You know what? I just think that it's such a you make a good point though when you say your brother with the birthday.
Yeah,
it is a restart point, and I look at it as a moment of hope for myself and for other people to say, hey, there aren't other people out there that have had issues with it.
Legions.
Legions. I mean, and I mean you can go through a list on the internet to see who's had issues with it. To me, I'm no different, just a human being that had a major road bump, and I know what it's like to go through it.
Well, I just I think people need to understand the importance of asking for help. And there's no shame in it, and also this idea that rehab is a bad place. You know, I remember getting a call from a friend of mine who was like, "Oh my gosh, my brother's in rehab," and my reaction to him was like, "Wow, that's great news," and he was taken aback by that, and I said, "Well, do you want them out there? Do you want them out there using or you know, doing whatever it is that they're doing? What would you rather them do? Would you rather them be in a facility where, you know, it's a safe place where they can, you know, fill their toolbox, you know? Yep. You know, if they really want to attack this thing and fill their toolbox and stuff. And I also think I need to express the importance of going to a detox if you have alcohol dependency issues, because a lot of people don't realize how actually fatal and dangerous coming off of alcohol can be. A lot of people think, you know, go watch the Basketball Diaries, and they see people, you know, coming off of heroin and, you know, some of these other issues, and they don't realize that alcohol coming off of it is
alcohol is
very, very dangerous.
There's an old saying, they say if you put five alcoholics in a room for 3 days and lock the door and come back 3 days later, do the same thing with heroin addicts, five heroin addicts, you're going to have five ticked off heroin addicts and probably three dead alcoholics.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get help along the way, Chris?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
All right. And how about you, Jen?
Oh,
I'm sure
yeah.
you had a support system, right?
Yep.
And that's exactly what you're raising money for is, yeah. is, and there's a few different things, because I'd read, anything from, scholarships and supplemental needs and so forth that the Hanson
yeah,
Foundation
so
does?
We raise a lot of money to help scholarship people into treatment and sober living. I mean, what people don't understand is that it's not like you go away for 30 days and it's over. A lot of these people have to stay in sober living. A lot of people come and stay for up to a year or 18 months and totally change their life. I mean, it's not just a quick fix and you can go back to, you know, living the way you used to live.
Mm-hmm.
You have to completely change your life.
And so. I think people want that. They want that quick fix, and they want, oh, well, I'm, you know, it's been 30 days. Everything should go back to normal. And that's not necessarily the case. And I think I need people to look at you, Jen, and you, Chris, and myself. I got 7 years sober.
Yeah.
You really do have to work at it. You know, surround yourself with some strong people and it may take time. Sometimes it takes longer for other people, but you will get to a point where you have an immense amount of gratitude. And for like yourself, Chris and Jen, like, you know, there's another saying is you keep what you have by giving it away. So it's like, okay, well, I'm at a point now where I want to and I should help some people.
Yeah.
Because what I have, you know, as a sober individual, like, I want that struggling addict to have, because I know that they can. I know that they can. It's not impossible. It's simple, but it's not easy.
The message is one of hope, and that's really where I'm at, because I see the changes that I've been able to make, and they're for the positive. I see the way my kids are without having seen a drunk dad through their teens, and that's not the case I'm at. So really it is. That is what I'm here for, is a message of hope, because I'm here, and I know Jen's here. And we did it, and I'm telling people that if you are struggling, you can do it too. Yep. You absolutely can do it.
No doubt.
I know if I can do it, anyone can do it. I mean, I was just as bad as any person out there, and it you know, it took a total and complete life change. But one thing is, I had the willingness, and that's where people struggle. I think they don't always have the willingness, and so that's where people's bottoms keep getting lower and lower. If they, you know, don't have the willingness the first time, then they sometimes have to come back again and maybe have the willingness the second time.
And we're all loving life, and that's the other point. Yep. It's like, dude, we're all living life. Guess what? At the end of the month, I never thought I'd be able to do this. At the end of the month, I'm going to 3 Phish concerts, and I'm going to go to them sober again.
Yeah.
The Street Life concert is coming up Wednesday. Harrah's in Atlantic City. I'll get you the details in a moment. We should talk hockey for a second or two, Chris, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
You're good friends with Craig Berube.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty excited that he managed to get the win. Right,
we were cheering like it was my brother that's at the house at the 91, and you know, I obviously can't say it in public, but if you want to get a great look at Craig Berube, who he really is, the 9-second video of his little pregame speech was absolutely the best.
Yeah.
I promised Nick I'd share a great Craig Berube story, and it really is maybe the best on ice story that I could probably bring up from my days in playing a long time. We're playing the New York Rangers. The last game of the year was an NBC game or Fox, whatever it was, in 2000. And we were first place in the conference. We'd already clinched. And the Rangers were out of it. They were done. This was their last game of the year. So they called up this kid from Hartford who ended up playing a few years, named Dale Purinton. Craig Ramsey was a coach. Roger Nielsen was on hiatus with his cancer treatment at the time. And so Rammer tells us before the game, Berube, we had some other tough guys, said, listen, I don't want anybody fighting tonight. I don't want anyone doing anything. It's our last game. They're done. We're playing Wednesday in the first round of the playoffs. So this Puritan's a pretty tough customer, and it's his first game. So he wants to leave a mark on the game. So the first 10 minutes, he runs Mark Recchi twice and fights Keith Primo. Right? Now, that's not what you want. Your captain's fighting when we need him in the playoffs. So Berube's on the bench, and he says to us, I got this, boys. Don't worry about it. Nothing will happen again. So I'm like, all right, we can't wait to hear this. So there's a timeout on the ice. Berube skates right down to the New York Rangers bench, right to the very end, and Brian Leetch is sitting there on the bench, and he says, I'm gonna clean this up.
All right.
He says, hey, Leetch, as loud as he can, he goes, I'm going to tell you how this is going to go right now. You're going to put your little pet on a leash, or I'm going to drag you to center ice, and I'm going to beat you to death in front of this whole stadium, your home stadium. So, and we're like, oh, my God. You talk about Southern justice, right? We look down, and we see Leetch with his arm around the kid going, all right, that's enough. That's no more. There wasn't another hit the rest of the game.
Oh, my God.
That's very cool.
Wow.
Berube in a nutshell.
That is. That's hilarious, man. So, we, you know what? I being from St. Louis, excited about the Cup.
Yeah.
Flyers got to get one, man. I'm just, yeah. You know, every year we start off so excited and ready to go for the season, and things happen along the way, and there's little glimpses of glory that happen, and then they kind of correct themselves, but, you know, we're hoping for...
I'm with you guys. You know, I know the team's on the upswing. There's been a couple disappointing seasons with the playoff loss and then not making it last year. But you know what? They have a great young group, of a core group here that they have to build on. They made a trade last week, probably going to get the young stud defenseman Ivan Provorov some help with the Niskanen trade from Washington. I'm going to miss Gudas. But this is a team that's on the rise, and people have to remember... that there's only one team lifts that cup at the end of the year, right? And the other 30 teams go home disappointed. Yep. That's really what happens. So
I just miss competitive playoff hockey. I mean,
it's great, wasn't it?
It is great, except when your team's not in it. And there's nothing for me quite like it. It's edge of the seat. But the Flyers, I'm really at the point now where I'm pissed. I'm tired of mediocrity, and I don't mind them blowing some things up to try and improve. I going through what the Sixers went through over the last few years, the results speak for themselves. And I, you know, the Flyers at this point, and I listen, they're my favorite team. I love them unconditionally. I'm just ready for them to start turning things around. And I think it starts in net, and they've done that. I think they found a goaltender that's going to carry them for years.
He's the real deal.
Yeah.
He absolutely is a real deal. I mean, I couldn't say that about maybe somebody else in the last 8 years. Maybe they were, you know, they're gap fill kind of goalies.
Or good guys.
Good goalies. Like, you know, Briz was supposed to be maybe a little better than he was here. Things didn't work out with that. They tried. But this kid is the real deal. I love his demeanor. And I think the city of Philadelphia is going to really, really enjoy his play for a decade, hopefully 15 years.
Nice.
Sounds good.
Looking forward to it. In the meantime, the party is going on Wednesday, HansonFoundationNJ.org to get the tickets. We will post that. In fact, we've already posted it on PrestonandSteve.com if you need the information. And, Chris, you're going to be there for the event?
Yes, for sure.
Excellent. So make sure that you... get your tickets and go to it Wednesday in Atlantic City at Harrah's. Good luck to you, Jen. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, too.
Hope the event goes wonderful. Chris, always great to see you.
Guys, a pleasure. Thank
appreciate
you so
it.
Much.
Chris Therrien, Jen Hanson. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Muse. Disturbed. Contours.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I want to give away the last passes we have for the Toy Story 4 screening, which is tonight at the King of Prussia IMAX screen. UA King of Prussia. So we'll take five callers. I think I have five of them. Yeah. Five or four? 215-263-WMMR. Is it four? I'm sorry.
Leave me alone.
Four callers at 215-263-WMMR, and you will be able to go tonight. Make sure that you are there by 6:30 because it starts at 7 in order to get your seat. We want to get you in time. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's begin with this story. While on a dream vacation in Bali, Indonesia, Judy Hicks thought that it would be a great idea for her family of five to make a day trip to the Ubud Monkey Forest.
Ubud.
Over 750 monkeys live in this extraordinary wildlife sanctuary. Most are fairly well-behaved, but one monkey not only let himself down, but let the whole forest down. During their visit, a family from Australia asked a local guide to take their photos so that they could remember their experience. At that point, one monkey lunged for the camera and immortalized itself with a couple of selfies that it took. And according to Judy, she said, as I was flicking through the photos afterwards, I noticed that in one of them, the monkey was actually giving us the finger. It's hilarious.
Yeah. It is pretty funny.
It looks straight up like the monkey's just going, F you, and holding up his middle finger. She said, She said, I showed my husband, and we both started laughing. We thought that it was hilarious.
They probably get sick of taking pictures.
Judy said that the unforgettable image was one of the highlights of their entire trip, and added that it would be not long before she and her family returned to Bali. You might expect to see extra glasses under a bar, but not a possum. A family was dining at an Applebee's in Columbia, South Carolina on Monday when they spotted a baby possum crawling underneath the bar.
Oh, they do Possum Tuesdays, don't they?
Tuesdays, yes. Adrian Nico snapped a few photos and took a video of the animal crawling over what appears to be containers for garnishes that go into mixed drinks.
You know, it's great when they bring out that big steaming plate of deep-fried possum.
She posted the video on Facebook and noted that the manager asked her to stop taking pictures of the creature.
Stop it!
She said she paid her bill and left. Applebee's later released a statement saying in part that the isolated incident occurred following a heavy rain.
Follow her and break the camera.
And that animal control removed the animal before the affected area was cleaned and disinfected. This is pretty damn funny. Math is great and all, but 2 size 8s don't equal 1 size 16 when it comes to women's clothing.
No.
A woman who ordered a size 16 bikini bottom from Boohoo and ended up being sent 2 sized 8s instead.
Stop it.
Seriously.
You can do that, right?
Yeah.
This doesn't fit.
She added to make matters worse.
It's crushing my junk.
The proper size 16 bikini top is very small. She says the Boohoo has given her a freebie and apologized and told her to send the package back along with a note. But 2 size 8s.
Don't awesome. They routinely sell, though, different size bottoms and tops for bikinis?
Don't know. Kathy?
Right? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Retired clergyman Norm Self is enjoying life as a porn star at the age of 85.
God bless.
He has made 4 movies in 2 years and urges older people to opt for the, quote, mind-blowing sex life that he is lapping up now.
That was good.
Norm, who is not paid for the work, said, my housemate asked me if I'd be in a film. I was invited in, and all of a sudden, all this attention comes to me.
Teacher, I got a bad grade.
He said, it's almost like having a party. That's one of the things I admire about this way of doing porn. He said, we are going to have sex anyway, so why not make it a liberating and bonding experience instead of hiding it away in the shadows? He said, if the universe grants me another 10 years, who knows what will be happening with sex?
I use Blue Emu because it doesn't stink. The ladies love it. Hey, before I get aroused, I put a little Blue Emu on the penis. You know, it doesn't stink.
It what?
It doesn't stink.
No.
And then we have sex for an occasion, you know.
He said, my 85-year-old self is more vibrant than my 45-year-old self.
Except, you know, it doesn't stink.
He said, it's as though my erotic energy has taken over and inhibited me.
There's a difference between being erect and rigor mortis.
Yeah. Norm's remarkable life story is being told in a documentary in the UK, which contains graphic scenes called OAPS, which is retired or pensioners.
Okay.
OAPS on the game, the sex business. Mm. And now he wants to send a message to Brit pensioners from his home in North Carolina. He said, one of the sad things about aging is that a lot of elders give up on sex.
Norm grew up in Alabama and was surrounded by religion, joining the clergy when he was 18. He met his wife when he was in his 20s, and they were married for 28 years. But during that time, he realized that actually he was gay.
Huh.
And after
separating... So this is gay porn he's doing?
Yep, exactly. Oh. After separating from his wife and moving in with a man he calls his housemate, he was asked via a friend to join the porn industry. And Norm was unconcerned about the church's reaction. He says he's really happy doing it.
I also realized I preferred vanilla to chocolate.
Hey, did you guys happen to, speaking of old men genitalia, did you guys happen to see the thing that I retweeted yesterday?
No, I did not.
Oh, my God. It is so funny, and it's I feel bad for laughing at this. But there was a guy who was sitting on stage at some sort of conference or whatever, and he's older, right? And he goes and he crosses his legs
and
and pinches his
nuts. His balls get crushed and you can see it on his face.
And he reacts. Oh, Press, wait till you see it. You ready? Here you go.
Yeah. Die! He like jerked his head back really hard.
There was one though.
Die!
A picture got retweeted. I think Sid Wilder put it out yesterday. It was a picture of Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh.
Have you remember this picture of Anna Nicole Smith marrying... What was his name? Smith or Hunt?
Oh, his name.
And you've got to see this picture. He is this wizened, gelatinous glob of flesh sitting hunched over in a chair, and she is standing up. Why no one just said, stop this. This is a travesty.
I think they did. Yeah. I just think he did not
care. He did not care,
but oh, my God. Yes, I remember those. Oh, that was horrible. All right, do we have to wrap it up?
Yeah.
Okay. Aww. All right, and there, that's what we have in the bizarre file. Does Steve have a moment or two to plug, or do we? All right,
we got to move on.
We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll tell you all about Mutiny on the Mushulu Mewtwo, which is coming up on Thursday, and we may even have some tickets for someone to win. You'll have to stay close. We will be back in just a moment. Make sure you remain here.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Monday Preston and Steve Show. When my alarm clock went off this morning, I couldn't figure out if it was Friday or Monday. It wasn't like a Monday or Tuesday. I was like, am I at the end of the week or the beginning of the week? And unfortunately, it ended up being the latter, but you know. We got good things this week, so.
Saturday, I woke up at the time I normally wake up during the week. I was up at 3:45 just to get to the blood drive and get everything set. And so yesterday, I'm like, well, at least I can sleep a little bit later. I woke up at 3:45.
Oh, no.
I thought it was Monday.
Not good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here we are on a Monday. We'll do the letter today for the Word of the Week prize. And then by Friday, we'll give away Casey's favorite things, like a whole bunch of them, from Metro by T-Mobile. And I'll give you the details on that in a little bit. Another giveaway not right now for the Mutiny on the Mushulu Mewtwo, but a big plug-o-rama would be a good time to do that now. Steve, you want to give all the information?
Give all the information. Thank you. It's this Thursday from 6 to 9 at Benefits Max Fund, which is the charity my wife started. It benefits feral and homeless cats, and it is a central fund the way Philabundance is a food center that different charities and organizations can pull on. The fund is there to help out other animal organizations and people who do TNR, which is a trap, neuter, and release, and keep cat colonies down so that they don't get killed, and sometimes horrible things happen to them. It's a fund that's used in multiple different ways, and we're very proud of it. So it's going to be the Mushulu, which is a wonderful place on Penn's Landing. Rain or shine, you're covered. As we said before, Yards Brewery, Chatsford Winery, Stateside Vodka, Revivalist Gin, they're all donating stuff, so you pay your ticket price, and you can drink and have a good time. Plus, you've been hearing about them this morning, the delicious desserts from the Mixie Chicks, Macarons, Zaz ice cream, great nothing bun cakes in Ardmore, tuck-ins, all-natural s'mores, and, of course, the Mushulu has incredible food that they'll be passing around as well. Entertainers include DJ Perry, Up Close Magic from Mike Palladino. We have a strong man, Baby-Faced Reed, a juggling and giant bubble show from Douglas Stafford, a crazy cat lady, Hasta La Vista, a drag queen who's going to do a number. We have Cameron Catastrophe, who does his tennis racket contortion, and believe it or not, she's going to take tips For the mutiny, you can staple the money to her. That's really a cool thing. Yes, human tip jar is what she's called. We have stilt walks, all that stuff, plus professional tarot card readers and a photo booth. Compliments of Philly Photo and Film, character artists, and so much more. But get this: our wonderful sponsor Arm & Hammer. They're going to pay for your parking, and if you use Uber, you can get $5 off your ride both ways. Use the promo code MutinyEvent in the Uber app, and you're covered those ways. So there's really no excuse not to come. Nick's going to be there. I know that Pierre's going to head on over, and it should be a great time, but it all benefits. Listen, even if you don't even care about if you're a dog person and hate cats, it's going to be a great time. So come on down, and we appreciate the support. You can get your tickets at PresidentSteve.com and also at MaxFun.com. That's MacSFund.com. Of course, you know PresidentSteve.com. Click on the Mutiny banner and buy your tickets.
Nice. And we'll do another giveaway in a little while.
Thank you.
But right now, we need to do today's lesson question. We are going to give away, for today's correct answer, a pair of tickets to MMR Rocks Sublime with Rome at Skyline Stage at The Man on Tuesday, July 9th. So the question that I asked this morning is, what food item is best to cure a post-coital headache? 215-263-WMMR. What food item is best to cure a post-coital headache? Let's see if you're listening and know the answer. 215-263-WMMR. While you're calling in, we are going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, what kind of stories do we have today?
Well, 54-year-old Wendy Williams' new boyfriend, boy toy Mark Tomlin, is reportedly sick of being labeled a gold digger, noting that he takes care of himself. Tomlin says he makes his own bed and always does his homework before video games.
Hey!
Nick Cannon announcing that he's coming after Regis Philbin's record of having appeared on TV for over 17,000 hours. Not one to take things lying down, Regis sent Cannon a video of Mariah Carey giving him oral.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. The fight is on.
Wow.
And finally, Kim Kardashian West was at the White House of President Trump on Thursday to unveil a program to help former inmates travel to job interviews. Trump was so impressed with Kim's hard work that he gifted her with an engraved nuclear submarine.
Oh. That's all. All right, we shall see if you know the answer to the question, what food item is best to cure a post-coital headache? 215-263-WMMR. We're going to go to James, see if he knows the answer. Hey, James. Are you there, James? No, I hit the button and it was James. So
even hit the James button.
Let's go to Keith. Hey, Keith. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning.
Hey, bud. So what food item is best for a post-coital headache?
That would be the turkey leg.
The turkey leg is correct. So. All righty. Hang on just a second because we're going to get your information and we are going to set you up with a pair of tickets to MMR Rock Sublime with Rome. Skyline Stage at The Man on Tuesday, July 9th. Tickets are on sale now. Ticketmaster.com, MMR VIPs. You can head to WMMR.com for another chance to win tickets plus passes to meet the band. Let's get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, and it's brought to you by A.D. Moyer. A.D. Moyer Lumber is celebrating 80 years of supplying quality building materials and service. Four generations, one family, and one commitment. You can learn more at admoyer.com. Chris Cornell's widow and ex-wife are locked in a legal battle over the dispensation of his estate, which is estimated to be around $20 million.
This is so sad that this is going on.
Vicki Cornell filed a petition to administer Chris's estate following his death. She lists the sole beneficiaries of her husband's last will and testament, which was signed in 2004, as herself and the Cornell Family Trust. Vicki has two children with her husband, Tony and Christopher. However, Cornell's first wife, Susan Silver, and the daughter that they have together, Lillian, are claiming in court that they are owed child support from a 2004 divorce settlement. Susan also believes that she is owed a percentage of Cornell's royalties. They want an accounting of the estate to determine just how much they are owed. Vicki has objected to both claims and is seeking to dismiss them, but both parties are also apparently attempting to settle their issues outside of court. Some of the issues stem from college tuition payments for Lillian, who took a leave of absence from school without notifying the estate. So it's, yeah, it's hairy.
Honestly, so again, we say if you can write it out exactly where you want, whatever you have to go, mm-hmm. where you want it to go, because this stuff is a mess when it happens.
And that stuff you need to reassess every couple of years, too, in case there's been
some changes. People piss you off.
Some dynamics that right. have changed. Yeah.
Exactly.
The Black Keys revealed in a new interview with Loudwire Nights that the name of the band's ninth album, Let's Rock, was taken from the last words of a man who was executed in Tennessee on a day that the band was in the recording studio.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
It's kind of cool.
That's kind of like Just Do This or Just Do It with Nike, right?
Yeah, was the guy in an electric chair?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's okay.
Well, so was this guy.
Yeah.
He was in an electric chair. Frontman Dan Auerbach explained the coincidence was so strange and just so absurd, adding that it added a darker, more absurd tone to what on the surface sounded almost like a cliche. He said, "We can't just do that light and fun title."
Do you remember Gary Gilmore, executed by Firing Squad?
Yeah.
His last words were, "I like big butts."
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Well, that was inspiring.
That's where it came, yeah.
Down the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, eventually inspired a certain
author. It's amazing how many people are executed who would be incredible songwriters.
Yeah, didn't know that.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah.
The man who was put to death in the electric chair, which is now the image on the cover of the album. Auerbach said people like Metallica and AC/DC have used that image and it looks amazing. But we're not that kind of rock band. We just can't be that cocky, I guess.
You know, Ted Bundy wrote We've Got Tonight.
Wow. Which you would think for a killer.
Yeah. It's just the absolute opposite of this brutal man who wrote this tender love song.
Yeah.
It's a great party song, though.
Yeah.
Let's rock. Well, and therein was the dichotomy.
Yeah. The complex person that was Ted Bundy.
That was Ted Bundy.
Gentle songwriter and brutal killer.
I know you're playing.
Gentle songwriter and brutal killer.
Says that on his tombstone.
Yeah. Let's Rock, by the way, is out on June 28th. The duo have shared three songs from the disc so far, including the single Low High, which I played earlier this
week. Hitler wrote Baby Shark.
It did start.
Yeah.
It
was
Germany,
a German
right?
song.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know we don't have a recording, but what would that have sounded like if you were.
Baby Shark! Baby Shark!
Slow it down, Adolf. Slow it down.
It was originally yeah. Baby Shark, ya, 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 ya.
Ya, 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 ya! Did like a little baby shark!
I don't like this. My children are frightened.
I was not aware of the history of that song at all. Wait, this
is the German version. It's the original, right?
No, it was most popularized by the German
Hitler.
Version. No, not by Hitler. By the German version. It existed around here.
The Führer really wants to soften his image with kids. And he has a song in mind.
Wow. All right. This is an interesting story. Nick, I'm curious if you heard this. Eddie Vedder recently reunited with a Dutch woman whom he had befriended after a show in 1992 and did not see again until last weekend after 27 years.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You see this?
Yeah.
Pearl Jam played a show in the Dutch city of Utrecht back in 1992.
And I say in all sincerity, Durkin, Flurkin, Begurkin.
After the show, Vedder spent most of the rest of the evening talking to one particular Dutch woman who ended up going to a cafe with him and giving him a ride back to his hotel on her bicycle. The two had...
Did he ride on the handlebars? This is pretty scary. I'm afraid I'm going to fall on my face.
The two had an immediate connection. But they never saw each other again until last Wednesday night in Brussels, Belgium.
That is pretty wild.
Vedder played two solo shows in Amsterdam last weekend, and at the second show he asked, is the woman who gave me a lift to my hotel in 1992 maybe here tonight? He said,
can you lend me $10?
He said, I am almost certain that I would still recognize her face.
Wow.
No one came forward, but I guess it's a magazine or a newspaper, Het Parool, investigated and found the woman. Her name was Valeska Custers, who is now married and has three children. Custers remembered the night vividly, including that Vedder wore her backpack on the bike, but forgot to give it back to her.
She now operates a store called Custer's Last Stand, and it's wonderful.
And
by the way, is Nick McElwain here?
No.
She said she tried to meet up with the singer again at a few other Pearl Jam shows over the years, but it never happened. Well, this time, someone in Vetter's band showed him the Het Parool article, and Vetter's tour manager invited Custer's and her husband to Vetter's show in Brussels, where they finally reunited.
Jeez. Eddie's, Preston, in this picture, Eddie's looking like an ATF agent.
Yeah, you're right. Wearing the hat and everything?
Yeah.
Vetter reportedly told Custer's, "You still have the same smile."
Aww.
He said that he kept the backpack, which contained her brother's shirt, for years, but he had lost track of it, she replied. So
she said he was really shy.
No kidding.
She certainly knew who he was, but that he was painfully shy in
92.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And that's the way he was back then, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So that's really neat that they were able to reunite and that he remembered that, you know, that's very
some
cool.
of those little moments in life yeah. that have a massive impact.
And 92 is when they hit.
Yes.
I mean,
they were huge.
I don't know if it was by the time he did that show or right before then, cause that was a year that everything kind of changed. So
up to that point, he had been attending executions to get song ideas.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
God.
And
Sir Mix-a-Lot picked up a big one.
And here it's all the rage.
Trent Reznor has given his approval to a second Nine Inch Nails cover performed by Miley Cyrus for a newly released episode of the Netflix series Black Mirror. Mm. So I guess they're making another video of this. I watched that episode.
What'd you think?
Yesterday. I watched all three of them. I thought they were just okay compared to the last couple of seasons.
And there's only four of them?
There's only three.
Just three episodes?
I enjoyed them, but they weren't as weird as the last couple seasons. You guys have seen them, right?
Do you think it's problematic bringing in celebrities like this?
No, I don't think that's the issue at all. I think it's the material. I think it's the story.
Material's not there.
And, maybe that's why they only did three episodes, is they didn't quite have the stories they were looking for. I don't know.
If you're unfamiliar with Black Mirror, it's a great series, and it has some of the most inventive, chilling, especially in the tech world we live in, troubling episodes you'll see. So that sucks that they're not that good.
Yeah, I thought the second one was my favorite one, Preston.
Which one was that?
That was
about
the one where they were in the car in that field.
Yeah, of the three,
yeah.
I think so. And even that one was...
I didn't like the way it ended.
It was pretty good.
Because it was like, the way it ends is like, well, I don't know how it ended.
Yeah, it had a... kind of left it hanging type of thing. But anyhow, they're worth watching.
All right. I'm going to watch them.
They're worth watching, but I thought that they fell short of the last few seasons.
Stranger Things is coming out soon. So.
Well, that was a question I was going to ask about, because I haven't watched any of the Twilight Zone, so this definitely has that Twilight Zone feel.
Twilight Zone is okay.
It's just okay?
I think it's okay.
Okay.
But
anyhow, a video for the first song, On a Roll, a reworking of Head Like a Hole, surfaced earlier this month, while the second cover of Right Where It Belongs was just shared by the streaming service.
I used to. So when I was, we went to the NAB to demo production equipment when they'd have the conventions in Vegas. They would have the other guys would be sitting around, you know, cutting Amy Grant songs together to show how the editing equipment would go. Yeah. My booth was blaring Head Like a Hole. I'm like, yeah, you got to stand out in the convention center. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. One last thing. There are three concert announcements.
Ooh.
To pass along.
Ooh.
Yeah. So,
do you want me to have music ready for that?
Have you even looked at them?
I know what the first one is because Marissa's super duper excited.
That's the one
about
she's excited about. So let's do music for that one, and the other ones I'll just kind of rattle off. How about that?
They're useless.
Let's see. The first concert is Sunday, September 22nd, and they will be performing at the Skyline Stage at the Man. And let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Do you want me to name the headlining band?
I get off.
No, it's Rancid.
Whoa!
Marissa's a big Rancid fan. Marissa's she's a lover of all music, but she's definitely a punk at heart. And Rancid will be playing with Pennywise, Suicidal Tendencies, The English Beat, and Angel Dust. So Skyline Stage at the Man, Sunday, September 22nd at 4 p.m.
Wow.
And tickets will be on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. There's a pre-sale on Thursday. And you want to listen to Pierre Robert all this week because he's going to have a chance to win tickets. Pierre is a big Rancid fan.
No kidding.
They're a great band.
Big time. I remember when... It might have been in an A to Z or something like that. And he was playing some Rancid and had a lengthy break about how much he loved that band. Or he might have been doing a workforce block. I forgot exactly what it was. But he's a big fan, so it's perfect for him to be giving away.
A song credit on this, Preston? Mussolini.
No.
Mussolini on, was being executed.
On Time Bomb? Yeah. I didn't know that. Wow.
They're a fun band.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, and then this other show to announce is at the Foundry.
Love the Foundry.
Monday, August 19th. It's Dinosaur Pileup. Monday, August 19th. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com. And if you listen all week, Jackson will have tickets to win to Dinosaur Pileup. I do like the groove on this song a lot. All right, and then one more announcement. This show will be at Franklin Music Hall. And it will be Saturday, October 19th. And MMR rocks in this moment.
That was a good one.
Well, I hit
it
the wrong...
It took a while, right? You hit the wrong button.
Well, I hit the wrong button. What the hell? Oh, I hit this button.
Oh, that's not a song you want to leave.
No, this is...
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's a great song.
Are you ready to rock?
There we go.
That's a little bit better.
Anyway, in this moment with New Year's Day, D.E.D. and Little Miss Nasty.
Mm. You're so nasty, Sammy.
At Franklin Music Hall, Saturday, October 19th. And tickets also go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. There is a pre-sale that's on Wednesday. And listen to Jackie Bam Bam all this week to win tickets. So we got tickets to all these events to, for you to win.
There are a ton of great shows throughout the summer. I mean, you know, we are blessed with a ton of great venues. And something's always happening.
Yeah, well, the concert landscape has changed, I think, dramatically over the last 5, 6, 7 years, just with these awesome, awesome venues. And then we still have some of the great venues that, you know, have been here for a long time still. But there are some really, really great places to see live music.
All those details available at WMMR.com. You can get them as we take our last break. We are going to give away our last pair of tickets for Mutiny on the Mooshulu. Mew 2. And this is Thursday night, 6 to 9 p.m., and as Steve was saying, it's a full circus of events, not just great food from like Zaz and Tuck-In S'mores and Nothing But Cakes and Mixie Chicks and Macarons, who have all been here this morning.
Yes.
But loads of entertainment that's going to be taking place, too, and booze, if that is your thing.
And the entertainment sort of wanders around. You're not forced to see. You go. You just relax. It's an extended happy hour. The entertainment's happening around you. And that's the deal. You don't have to, you know, sit and there's no showtime. It's just happening.
We'll take caller 7 at 215-263-WMMR. Do you need to be 21 to go to the event?
No. You can. Okay. You'll just be wristbanded, if you know, so you can drink.
215-263-WMMR. And we will give you those tickets. So give us a call right now. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Letter of the day for the word of the week. Wrapping up, seeing what Pierre has in store for you as well. We'll be back in just a moment.
Activate. The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
About 10:38 a.m. Monday morning, the Preston and Steve Show. Hopefully yours is flying by quickly and will continue to do so for the remainder of Monday, because we know how that can go. We do have some thunderstorms that are going to make their way into our area intermittently over the next several days. Today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, all calling for scattered thunderstorms, and then Friday we might get some showers in the morning. So they're going to pop up from time to time. Some thank yous this morning on today's program. We had former Flyer, current interim head coach of the Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues, Craig Berube, was on the show. And the chief was in a good mood, as you can imagine, because he's now a Stanley Cup champion. But it was cool to have him on today.
He said that he and his buddy Derek Settlemyer, who's the equipment manager of the Flyers, would like to swing by with the Stanley Cup at some point this year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that'd be really sweet.
That'd be really awesome.
Yeah, so okay. He'll be back in the area at some point. He lives here in the off season, and yep. We'd love to have him stop by in the summer or whenever and bring the Stanley Cup with him.
Speaking of the Flyers, Chris Therrien came by today. Chris and Jen Hansen were here. They're promoting the Street Life concert, which is coming up Wednesday at Harrah's in Atlantic City, and it benefits the Hansen Foundation. Their website is Hansen Foundation. NJ.org, and it's to help people who have substance abuse issues in several different ways, and they've raised a whole lot of money, and they're having this big party, and there's going to be members of Jefferson Airplane and Grateful Dead and all kinds of things that are going on.
This might be really your best bet for celebrating the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, because we don't know what's going on with
and
the other stuff.
I want to thank Chris for opening up about something very personal that he has never spoken about publicly, and an alcohol problem that he had. He's been 9 years sober. I talked to him more after he left, or after we got off the air, and he's never publicly discussed that. And we didn't go into too much deep detail, but you know, he just said that's the first time he's ever opened up about it. It's a very personal thing, but he wants to do what he can to help other people out. And I thought that was really cool of him to come on the show and do that. And he's such a great guy, so it was awesome to have him on. And thank you to everybody here to promote the Mutiny on the Mooshaloo Mew 2, Zaz Ice Cream, Tuck In S'mores, Nothing Bundt Cakes, and Mixie Chicks Macarons, who were all here. They brought by some decadent eateries or eats this morning, and just phenomenal stuff.
Yeah.
So they'll be there Thursday night.
Thursday night from 6 to 9, and you talk about the weather. They have there's cover there. So you'll be on the deck enjoying the wonderful deck, and you don't have to worry about the weather no matter what it is.
Free parking.
Compliments of our Arm & Hammer sponsorship. You know, I'm a big fan of their kitty litter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't just talk about it. We use it at home. In truckloads.
10 cats.
Yeah, 10 cats.
Wow.
Pierre Robert is here. Thank you, sir. I wish I could have been there for your live broadcast portion of the I Believe for Preston and Steve Blood Drive. I've always wanted a broadcast element for that event, and we got it, and we got the best in the business to be there, which is pretty amazing.
It was still the P&S show.
Yeah, it was. Pierre and Steve.
Exactly. I've formally committed you to everyone from here on in. So it was so good to have it. It was a good vibe. And history, Pierre.
Yeah, did you hear the news?
I didn't hear the news, so I was hoping that you were going to tell me the news, and I'm guessing that the news is the news I was hoping to hear.
Yeah. Yes, it is. The presidency, this year's I Believe for Presidency blood drive has been the largest blood drive in the United States of America.
Yes.
1,416 pints collected. And that's after even many more people came through, because there's reasons why you get disqualified for the day. So think about the amount of people that came by to donate. You know, really, really phenomenal.
It's a thousand thanks to everybody who came out. People were so nice, you know, and so patient. It's very well run, but, you know, it still takes a while for people to go through the various steps of the thing, even when they're signed up, and their patience. But we had we had hula hoops out. We had all these fun things. Brent Porsche actually told me that he had broadcast from it 1 year. I don't recall that.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. No, he did a wonderful job. Yeah.
So this was apparently the second time, but I'd be happy to do it for as long as you do it.
Yeah.
Anything I could ever do for you guys, I'm pleased to do, happily do. And how was the parade in St. Louisville?
It was great. It was really cool. It was really special to me and to be with my best friend. My best friend's name is Steve, believe it or not.
About that.
Is
he the guy you brought out for the U2 show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So Joshua Tree.
So we've had some cool, special moments together, and that was definitely one of them. I would have been on board for the blood drive, but it's the first time for the history of the organization. For them to win the Stanley Cup, and it was an important part of us growing up together, so I had to be there for it, and it was great. We had a blast.
As part of the Queen's Council, I give you special dispensation.
Oh, thank you, Your Majesty.
Yes, you're Queens, welcome. The Bronx, the whole thing.
One of our interns kept calling me sir all the time. Yes, sir, and I go, you've got to stop that. And
I know you don't like sir.
Well, I don't mind. I actually call other people sir, but he finally said, well, how would you like to address me? And I said,
Your Majesty would be.
That's good. I like that. I like that.
That's
better.
A start. Yeah, it's
nice.
A start.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm happy you got to see that. That's so cool. And I'm so thrilled at that news on the blood drive. We thought it was going to be that way, and I missed the actual announcement when you gave it this morning. So I was crossing my fingers, but pretty certain that it was going to be the case. But we still didn't know when we left.
Yeah.
No. Steve and I were there till the very end, until the last folks went through. And God bless you. You got there at 6 a.m. You know, Steve had done, you know, as you guys do every year, amazing time spent on this thing. Did you give blood this time?
Yes, yeah. They usually get us in first, so I gave 2 pints for Preston and myself.
Yep.
Again, stop and think about it. The largest single sponsored food drive in the country, yep. The largest blood drive. And that we say that with the pride of you who have donated and taken time to come out to these events, like Saturday, on a sunny Saturday, people lined up to give blood to the camp out. When you're working and carrying on your lives, you make time to come out and support this. Both are just the epitome of a community effort, and we couldn't be more proud.
Well, and both, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
And both speak to this profound need. You know, there's no more profound need than feeding someone.
Yeah.
And there's no more profound gift than giving your own bodily fluid, the oil of your engine, your blood, to help someone else. They're both as direct and as cool as can get.
I was talking to the person that took my blood, and she said that this time of year, and you and I shared this on air on Saturday, Pierre, but they get a lot of their blood from blood drives that happen in high schools, and schools are out for the summer. Mm-hmm. So their supply goes way down in the summertime, and the demand goes up. So if you were not able to make it out on Saturday, there are blood drives that happen all over the place all week, and find the one that's closest to you. Because if you weren't able to join us, which we would love to have you there, but make a donation this week if you can.
Great.
Somebody posted on Instagram, and I fell for it for just a second. They go, "Hey, man, did you hear? They were 1 pint shy." I was like, "Oh, man.
Wait a second."
That's a good one.
Thank you for that.
You know, it was cool, Preston, at about 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. I forget who came by and said, but they said, blood had already gone out, was processed Saturday night, and was heading towards CHOP Sunday.
Okay.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Right. Wow.
Good work, everybody. Great amazing. Work. Amazing.
Amazing. Hopefully. Just amazing.
Let's do the letter, my man.
I say.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
Sort of say.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
J is in June.
All right. And we are giving away Casey's favorite things from Metro by T-Mobile. What does that include? Well, it includes a $100 Fandango card, a $100 gift card to one of Casey's favorite restaurants, a $100 Hand and Stone gift card, and a family four-pack to Maury's Piers. Hurry in now to your nearest Metro store and take advantage of the best deal in wireless, only at Metro by T-Mobile. You can see the store for details and terms and conditions. So we will give that away on Friday. What's in store for this Monday morning?
Well, as you had mentioned and announced the great show, Marissa and I are huge Rancid fans. I am often in the mosh pit at a Rancid show, believe it or not. I love that band. They're coming to The Man September 22nd up on the Skyline stage, which is an incredible place to see a show. And so I'll have tickets all this week, including today. We will have Workforce Blocks of Pearl Jam, of Journey, and of Rival Sons, plus the vinyl cut.
I love it. Thank you very much, Pierre. And I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also, Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show, and Winter Airport Parking. I just used them yesterday.
Aren't they awesome?
The fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. Tomorrow is Tattoos Day, and we'll fill in the blanks from there on out between now and then. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have yourself a great day. We'll do it again tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you, live.
This is for the bitch who got mad at me for ringing up her hummus too many times, and as I tried to correct the mistake, said, "I can't abide such incompetence. I work hard for my money." Listen, ho, I work 2 jobs, and you're buying a ton of cat food. I hope you die alone with your cat, stupid.
Next message.
Get up, get up, get out of bed. Get out of bed, you sleepy head. Congratulations, guys, on your award.
Next message.
I just got done working a 12-hour shift.
And the last thing I want to f*** do is
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.